The best way to steal, if you want to steal from a department store,
okay,
I've
learned. That I want to know. You're fucking hidden. How do you beat the system from the inside?
I would say two things. No one ever did this that I know of. Two things is, one, a distraction.
Because
we had to deal with, like, injury, a seizure, or whatever. Like, if somebody, because that's all lost, too, because they can sue. So if a rack falls on their head, you sprain your ankle, you slip and fall. That, you have one person do that, pretend to fucking sprain an ankle, because then we're all working on it. Because we only have three or four people at a time.
Wow.
And so everyone's kind of focused on that. And the other thing is minimal time. The most successful things were grab and go.
So frustrating. I'm trying to do this YouTube stuff and not to get demonetized, and they tell you if you curse in the first 30 seconds that they can't show the thing, they can't give you money for it. So now you gotta it's not gonna change completely, but I'm gonna try to not curse for 30 seconds. We're almost there. Ugh. My god. Anyway, you guys, how are you? Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 397. The Loss Prevention Officer, or maybe I'll call it Flim Flam Man. So on today's episode, I have my friend Joe List. He has a new special out that you gotta go watch. It's on YouTube, so you're already paid for it. If you don't know, Joe List is one of the best comics in the world. I don't say that lightly. He's great. Norm Macdonald says he's better than Red Fox. Jim Carrey once said that Joe List reminds him of a young Joe Louis. And then people ask him, like, what does that mean? He goes, it's not the best comparison, but the way Joe Louis was a good young fighter, Joe List is a good comedian. And then they said, do you think there was a better example you could use? Yeah, for sure. Guys, I was on the spot. I just made something up. And they go, would you like to apologize for what you said? And he was like, no, what? I'm not going to apologize. I just said something. Why would I apologize? Did you see there was a baseball player? Some, like, third base coach or something? They can't do, because of COVID, they can't do the high fives anymore. So instead, they do, like, elbow bumps. But this guy, it's brand new. And he didn't understand. So they just do elbow bumps. But he was like, what I'll do is I'll go straight out and I'll elbow bump as people come by, right? But the whole time he was just doing the Heil Hitler and he didn't know, and like trying to elbow bump. And then people go, dude, you were actually doing the Heil Hitler. And he was like, oh, well, that's not my intention at all. And they were like, yeah, well. And he goes, I'm so sorry. I apologize for my actions. It was, what did he say? It was something like, you know what, they always do the same apology. What do they say? Like, inexcusable. That was the word. It's inexcusable. And it's like, no, it's not. It's completely excusable. Your excuse was, I told this to Jay today. Your excuse is, that you didn't know that's what it looked like. You were just trying to hit elbows. That's completely excusable. Don't do it again. Now you know, but like, When you say it's inexcusable, that's what Jay said. He goes, now it sounds like you really were trying to give the Heil Hitler salute. On today's episode, Joe List. So me and Joe and my boyfriend, we're all at the beach. And I'm looking for a fucking excuse to get Joe back on to promote his special called I Hate Myself. It's on YouTube right now for free. Go to YouTube, and while you're there, subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Ari Shaffir. Do I know I just said YouTube channel? Yes, I do. I just moved past it. So we were talking. He just mentioned that he was a loss prevention officer at Sears a long time ago. Let me get this. Big J. Okerson, you're on the air. I'm sorry. I'm recording an intro. What's going on?
Oh, no. Oh, we're waiting for you on the corner of 10 and 2nd.
Fuck. You want to come to the studio or you want to just, I'll just meet you there. Yeah, I'll meet you there. I'm
all
late.
Right. We'll see you.
Okay, sorry.
No worries. Bye-bye.
Okay. Don't die, buddy. I love you. Oh, sorry. I saw a fucking... Nah, I'll save it for next week. But I saw one of those people who like, will it be okay next week? Yeah, this will be okay next week. Now, I'll mention it now. I saw one of those fortune tellers. You know those people who are like, how do you afford such high-level real estate when you read fortunes once every 3 days for $30? And you realize like it's either drugs, like a drug front, or it is a like some Romanian gypsy got left this place by her rich husband, or it's a way to launder money, probably for drugs. But also maybe for like, you know, illegal non-taxed electronics and stuff like that. Who knows? The best of those examples was the old Rocky and Bullwinkle store on Sunset Boulevard. Sunset fucking Boulevard, prime location. And they sold Rocky and Bullwinkle memorabilia till like 2010. And you're like, no one's ever in there. And you're like, yeah, dude, there's a fucking front room that's tiny. I said, fucking, it's okay, I'm late enough. And then there's the back room that's probably way bigger, and that's where they murder informants. Anyway, so I saw a fortune teller. The reason I'm talking about this is because, like, I just found this out about Joe List while we're at the beach. He mentioned something that I never knew about him. And it's, like, interesting when you find out something you never knew about a friend that you've had for a long time. Like, I just found out Luis Gomez breaks into churches and molests nuns. You know, apparently they can't report it to the police because they answer to a higher authority. And they don't respect the authority of the land, these nuns. These nuns do whatever the fuck they want. But they don't rat. That's like a big thing in the nun community. So Lewis goes and molests them. Dave Smith is on another podcast called Legion of Skanks, a part of the problem. He sets it up. So they're like in it together. And I didn't know that. And Big J, I found out, is going to die in February of 2020. The way I found out, so I went to one of these fortune tellers, and you know how they like half tell you, it's like, I'm seeing someone in your life named who's gonna die. And I'm like, sure, okay, that's crazy right off the bat. It was one of those like the globes in the middle, and then you know the cards, and then the death card came up. I'm like, what's that mean? She goes, someone you know is gonna die. I'm like, sure, I have a lot of drug addict friends. You know, my friend Bert is a Molly addict. Joe Rogan's addicted to the green leaf marijuana. And she goes, starts with a J. I'm like, yeah, Joe Rogan. And she goes, I don't think that's it. I'm like, no, do you know Joe Rogan's like a friend of mine. He's a comedian. She goes, yeah, I fucking know the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, bro. This Romanian gypsy lady. She goes, I live in a fucking, in the world. Of course I've heard of it. She goes, did you hear he's going to Spotify? I'm like, yeah, I did. But anyway, let's get back to my friend who's going to die. She goes, it's J something. But I was like, he's big. I'm like, Joe Rogan's really big. She goes, dude, get the fuck off Joe Rogan. I know who he is. And I was like, what do you mean big? I'm like, Big J Okerson? She goes, yep, that's for sure it. Not could be. She goes, that's for sure it. I'm like, what do you know about him? She goes, he's going to die in February of 2020. So whatever office he holds, he will not be able to complete the term, which is like fucking weird. But anyway, that's what she said. So, and I found out about my friend Joe List that he was a loss prevention officer at Sears while we're at the beach. And Tony was like, what? Is that true, Joe? And he was like, yep, it sure is. And he spent time there. So I was like, dude, I was looking for an excuse of how to put you on this podcast to promote I Hate Myself, the new special by Joe List. And that's it. I can't believe dude, if I knew that a year ago, I would have interviewed you on this a year ago. What a perfect skeptic tank topic. What a perfect skeptic tank topic. God damn. So anyway, he came over, and that's exactly what we talked about. He was a loss prevention officer. The kind of guy who, you know, looks through the glass when you're changing. And then I found out through this podcast that's completely illegal and not allowed in any way. They don't really look through the glass. Which, if I knew that, I would have taken so many more chances when I was, like, in my shoplifting prime. I don't shoplift now because of, like, you know, did I say this already? I don't know if I said this already because I've done this fucking intro five times already. Because, you know, with COVID, it's like these stores, you know, like how can you shoplift now? I don't want to be indoors for that long. and you really got to like case it and find your opportunities. You can't just run in and out the way I do right now with stores. You really got to be there and wait for the clerk to look away. Dude, he gave me so many fucking good tips. Another thing the loss prevention officer they covered is you have to clean up vomit, which sucks. Joe quickly got off vomit duty and moved to just like not stopping people from stealing. But it reminded me of when we were like at the Comedy Store, we also had to clean up vomit. It was the worst. We had to seat people and break up fights and, you know, shit like that. But like, and change the sign, the marquee later. But we had to clean up vomit and it sucked, dude. I remember once Caparulo, John Caparulo, hilarious comic. He was, so when we were door guys, what you could do is if someone doesn't show up, you catch what they call a fallout, which means you get to go on with the professionals. Even if you're a non-paid regular, if you're a door guy, you get to go up. The equivalent, I don't think you guys understand what this meant for a young comic. It'd be like if you were at a baseball game and the third baseman got injured and then they just looked to the stands and they said, can anyone go in? Will anyone be able to go in? And they just look at you. They point at you and say, hey, you want to play third for the last two outs of the ninth? Yes. You would kill to be a ball boy. But who gets to be a ball boy? Nobody that we've ever heard of actually goes to be a ball boy. That'd be cool. That would be cool, but we don't get to do that. So anyway, Cap got a fallout, right? So he's got to get a new shirt. You got to get a t-shirt. You got to get like a fucking somebody so you don't wear your Comedy Store shirt so you seem professional. And shut up out there. And I said, shut up out there. Ari, it's not really their fault when you could have closed the window before you started this podcast. So, what was I going to say? Oh, so you borrow t-shirts. You go to like the cover booth and Ren Aziz is in there. Like, Steve, can I borrow? Do you have another t-shirt I can borrow? And he's like, no, I can't. I'm busy stealing money from the cover booth right now. Dude, I used to steal. No. So some people really stole money from the cover booth. I did not. But I would steal on occasion. Me and Sean would steal. So Monday nights was back then it was Sundays, was potluck, which means it was open mic, then employees, and then showcases. And then at 10 o'clock, officially, started the paid regulars, the pros. Sometimes it's a good lineup. Sometimes it's a terrible lineup because some shitty comics back then got passed. But sometimes it was great. I remember once it was like Chris Rock, Dice, Damon Wayans, Eddie Griffin. It was just such a fucking crazy lineup. And Mitzi was like, I make a good one sometimes. I made a good club. I'm like, damn, you did, Mitzi. You're fucking dead now. But like back then, she was alive. And what was I going to say? Oh, so what we do is at 10 o'clock, it was like the paid regular starts. That's when we start charging cover. Before 10, get in free. And then you can stay as long as you want. So it was a local thing. It was like, just get it there at 9:30 and you stay till 2. It was great for no cover, just a 2-drink minimum. And then it was our discretion if the open mic or the showcases or the employees were going to like 10:30. We're like, well, officially, spirit of the law, not letter of the law, we're only supposed to charge for the professional show. So we wouldn't charge till 10:30. But there's a discretionary period, 10 to 10:30. Now, if the paid regular started at 10, we'd charge at 10. But when we didn't feel it was right to charge 10, but the customer would think we would, say $5. We do it with one group, you know, a date. Say $5 each. That's $10. They'd pay it. We wouldn't ring it in. We'd show them their seats. I was seating and he was working the cover booth. And then we'd take that $10 and we'd go to Pink Dot. We'd buy a $3.50 Ben and Jerry's pint and two big bags of Doritos. One each. We'd dip. And that was our dinner. God, we were fucking broke. We were so fucking broke. Anyway. Get the rest. This is not marijuana, by the way. You know what this is? I'll tell you in a second. It's a sponsor. How cool are these? I made fucking grinders in India. I had grinders made. You couldn't make them in America, by the way. You just couldn't make them. For the amount I wanted, they were like, well, we can make a Bob Marley grinders. I'm like, no, I don't want a Bob Marley grinder. I want a picture of me. Ted Park designed picture of me. And they were like, no, we could do Bob Marley. And I was like, no. They're like, how about just the Jamaican flag? And I was like, no, what? Dude, I said no. So anyway, we'd steal a little bit. But anyway, back to the story. So Caparulo would go on, right? He went on and then he crushed because you wanted it so bad. A lot of these paid regulars, not their fault, but like they took it lightly because they go up all the time. And it was our chance. It was our, you're called in for fucking to play third base. So we're giving it our all. And he crushed. And then later he's out front. He's talking to some chick. And it's like she saw him as a pro comic, a performer, you know. He's talking to some chick. And then Chewy, the head door guy, comes over and just goes, hey, Gap, there's some barf in the back. You got to go clean up. So he had to go fucking clean up barf. It's so demeaning, you guys. It is so fucking demeaning. Do I have a lighter anywhere? Do I legit not have a lighter, you fucking idiot? The fuck is wrong with you? Ugh. I mean, no, I have one. Hold on. Yep. Remember. So today's episode, I should tell you, this is why I've been doing this the whole time. Today's sponsor is called Cushy Dreams. I never thought that smoking CBD, that's right, CBD, not THC, was going to do anything. I mean, at all. I knew that it was a thing. The Israelis, I believed, were the ones to fucking separate the THC from the CBD. At first, when that happens, I was, Cushy Dreams is the sponsor, by the way. Let's see here. It's cushydreams.com. K-U-S-H-Y. Dreams.com. Use promo code Ari for 15% off your first order. So when I heard they were separating CBD from THC, I got fucking worried. Because I was like, now they're going to make it so we can't have THC. Just to keep to help the people with fucking cataracts or sore backs, I'm not going to be able to get fucked up. Didn't end up happening. It was crisis diverted. So that's fine. But CBD-rich hemp flower, a.k.a. bud, and pre-rolled CBD joints. Well, this is not pre-rolled, but I fucking did it myself because I'm a professional. If I was a real professional, though, I would have been able to roll an actual joint with my hands, and I can't do it. I need a dollar bill. Cushy Dreams offers a full lineup of premium smokable CBD. It's cannabis and ships directly to you, and it's legal in all 50 states. You can't demonetize me, motherfuckers. It's legal in 50 states. Join the men and women who are sick of vapes and gummies and want to smoke the CBD. You don't have to fucking combat Cushy Dreams. You can be cool with the other people. You don't have to fucking make a wedge between all the people who enjoy all types of under 0.3% THC. Looks like high quality marijuana. Feels like high quality marijuana. Yeah, so anyway, I thought there was no way CBD was actually going to work. Then we're in a car one day, and we're all smoking weed, and this guy, Will, was in the back, wouldn't smoke it. He was like a Marine type guy, wouldn't smoke it. And one day he was like, dude, my back feels better because of the fucking in the air, right? The CBD in regular joints. And that's only a little bit. And we're like, it's backfilled. So then they start having the spread, and the spread I used for a while. But I was like, no way could a CBD joint work. It's got to be the fucking salve in the spread. And then Cushy Dreams sent me some fucking... Actually, I bought some at a fucking store somewhere, but I never smoked it. And then Cushy Dreams sent me some, and I smoked some. The first time I smoked it actually was when I did that... When I did that podcast, the Inside Baseball on YouTube, talking about my first two sets back from like hiatus. That looks cool. Back from Corona hiatus. I just talked about my set. You can look it up. It's on YouTube. But when I did it, I smoked a full joint, which is like cool, but I was going to get ripped, right? It doesn't get you ripped. It just gets you fucking feeling good. So I'm kind of sold. I'm kind of sold on it, you guys. I really didn't think I would be, but it's fucking good. So do me a favor. If you want to try it, help me out because it'll sponsor more of my podcast. And it's actually a sponsor that I'll use and I believe in. So cushydreams.com, K-U-S-H-Y. If you can't spell dreams, I don't know what to tell you. .com. Use promo code Ari for 15% off your first order. That means if you order $1,000 worth of CBD, get $150 off. Disclaimer, I would not buy $1,000 worth of CBD for your first order. Also, what's cool is you get to smoke. It's like you smoke cigarettes with people, but you're smoking this. So you smoke a full joint, not get ripped. Oh, you know what I want to try to do? See if I can still do it. Maybe I'll save it for next time. No, I want to see if I can do this. If you're listening at home, what I'm going to try to do right now is do that fucking French inhale. Let's see if I can. The trick is you got to breathe out through your nose, breathe everything out, suck it in, and then be able to. Okay, here we go. No, oh, fuck. I didn't even do it right. Oh, dude, there's indica or sativa blends. They come in specific indica sativa blends, like energy, that's sativa, hustle, sativa, relax, that's indica, and dream, that's indica. Kushi is a CBD flower in and pre-rolled joints. Cool, man. All right, let's start the episode. I want to try one more time to French inhale. I think I can do it. Nope. Nope, I can't. All right, guys, I'm going to the stand. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start the episode, shall we? What have I forgot to say? Follow Joe List Comedy, at Joe List Comedy, on Instagram. Fuck Twitter. That thing is done. I would stay off that as much as you can. But if you're on that, do me a favor and promote his fucking special. And if you're on Instagram, take a video. Hold it up to the fucking, when you're watching it, to the screen if you're watching on TV. And fucking just a good minute and just upload that shit. Just upload a fucking funny 30, 40 seconds to Instagram and just say, you guys got to watch this guy's special, Joe List Comedy. It's called I Hate Myself. For sure, go watch it. Let him know how you feel. Let him know that you liked it by going promoting it to your friends. He would love that. He does hate himself, so it would really help him go a long way towards learning to love himself. So, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 397. Loss prevention officer. I was thinking, trying to think of the Flim Flam Man, but it's not that. A Flim Flam Man is something else, and he talks about it in this episode, and it's like what he ends up like trying to like stop people from being Flim Flam men. But so let's just call it loss prevention officer. I was gonna say man behind the mirror, but then he told me they don't do that. There is no man behind the mirror. So Ari Shaffir, Skeptic, episode 397, loss prevention officer with Joe List. Starts no. I got caught shoplifting at Macy's. I got caught shoplifting at Macy's. Oh no. Hand on my shoulder, a voice. I try to run, cause I never learn. There go my plans for the afternoon. I'm in a chair in the manager's room. I got caught shoplifting at Macy's. They said this merchandise ain't for free.
Is it happening?
Yeah, it's happening.
Is this happening?
I don't have a... Yeah, I don't really have a good way in.
No, that's all right. So what started. Do we do about cameras? I just look at all three periodically?
No, you don't look at them at all. You concentrate on me.
Oh. Have you fucked on these cameras yet?
I have not fucked on these cameras. I'm not a fuck-on-camera guy. Even back then, I was never.
Back then?
I mean, like, in my heyday of fucking, like, twice in a day with different people... A morning send-off and a night, you know, get lucky.
Yeah.
You know, four different people in a week. I was never like, let me get this on camera. I never understood the people who got it on. Let me break. And
I want to say I appreciate you trying to push the idea that you used to fuck twice in a day.
I have That's before.
That's a good move. I'm interested in that. Why you think... uglier, less successful you was fucking two women in a day.
I don't, it's a good question.
How did that happen?
What, not uglier, way more hair, me.
No, but men get one of the great unfairnesses, tragedies of life is that women begin getting less attractive at the age of 15,
yeah,
and men start getting more attractive at the age of like 35,
it's 40. Completely unfair.
I wish that you did anything to make it clear that I made a joke just now.
No, I see you're serious. I get that you're serious about it.
No, the 15 thing. Yeah. You heard the 15 thing?
Yeah, 15-year-olds are the hottest. I did not hear it. Thank you for saying it.
Yeah, because any kind of just like, would have helped me be like, you see?
I noticed you moved over. Is that to not block that?
No, I didn't move over.
No, we're cool then. Yeah, dude, you can fuck 15-year-olds. I'm not going to judge you.
No, I don't. I didn't even when I was 15.
Yeah, me neither.
The youngest woman I ever had sex with was 18, and I was 18 also.
Me too, but 45. It was France, though, so it was looked down upon there, too.
See how I did a thing?
Yeah, you really bailed me out with that laugh.
Oh, but yeah, so you're more attractive. Men get more attractive. Like, you look at George Clooney from 1987, he looks like a big goof, and he's
hot. Facts of Life? Which one was he on?
He might have been on Facts of Life, yeah.
No, not Facts of Life.
I think it was.
Was it Facts of Life?
Yeah, I think so.
And DiCaprio too.
He was in Growing Pains.
Growing Pains.
Yes.
Oh.
With Boner. But yeah, men get more attractive and women start to get less attractive. Although now I'm at an age where older women are sexy, like in their 40s.
To you?
Yeah, and some even in their 50s.
Ugh, it's so gross.
But I think it. If every people were all drinking truth serum or whatever, everyone would agree that women start declining attractiveness and men get more attractive.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at any magazine.
Well, not magazine, any person out in the street.
You ever see Metzger's bit on Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the swimsuit?
No.
Where he goes, like, they ask these, like, Miss America stuff, like, legit questions. Like, how do you think we should bring about world peace? And they're, like, stumbling and stuttering. It's like, that's not part of their job description. Why have that? That's like going Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It's like, oh, you're here at the Supreme Court nominations, but now the swimsuit section.
Boy, he's got great jokes. He has three jokes that I think about all the time. One is the, you ever like stay up late and try to solve the Israeli-Palestine problem with Wikipedia? He's like, I think they just need some fresh eyes on this.
Yeah.
That's a joke I think about all the time. Last night I was talking about it. The idea of like black dick has a role in our judicial system.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was watching I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which is fantastic on HBO.
Oh my God.
So creepy, so good. But like one of the male victim that's in there, he was like, well, he's in jail. He's got nowhere to hide now. They're going to be taking care of him. And I had to pause it. I'm like, that guy is referencing rape.
Yeah.
He's talking about how this guy is going to get raped.
He probably was like, he has no freedom and they're giving him three not so great meals.
Yeah. No, he's like, he can't hide anywhere now. You know what's happened to him now. And then the other one is the people that don't believe in evolution. And he's like, the other day I was shaving my back in the mirror.
Yeah.
And I dropped the razor and picked it up with my foot. I was like, that's a great one.
Jackson was an all-time classic. Remember that one?
How was that one?
Do you remember where you were when you heard Michael Jackson's die? I was like, yeah. It was at my dad's funeral. And someone came in and said Michael Jackson died. And we were devastated. We didn't know what to do. My mom started crying. You ever cheat in Monopoly? You ever be the banker and cheat? Just take a little at first and you're like, I'll give it back. And then like when I get a couple more railroads and then you take a little more. And people kind of relate to the joke, you know, like, maybe, you know. And he goes into it a little bit and then he goes, yeah, that's Monopoly. And you're playing against people you care about. Now imagine you're just a banker. With people who you don't give a fuck about. You think you're not going to steal?
Right. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Boy, he's really...
really good.
Brilliant. And quite kooky.
Quite kooky, yeah.
I would say. I've said this before, but he's a guy, every time I see him, I have to be like, Kurt, Joe List, we know each other. Like, he does know who I am,
so.
But I still... like, that's the feeling I get, is like, are you...
He sees through people.
Like, yeah. He's like, I don't... I feel like I'm like... I don't know if he knows who I am.
He's got a heavy wonk eye, too. I think he'd do good with a real lazy eye.
Hmm.
Like, it would fit his character. Like, real, like, moving around.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, he's a fantastic comedian. Anyways, what's the visual line? Are my legs appearing in this thing?
Slightly, but Do what you want, man.
But my shorts are really climbing up, and I feel like by the end, I'm gonna
For sure there'll be some comments on the YouTube.
Yeah,
about
it. It's gonna be bad.
They're short shorts. You're taking a chance.
No,
there.
They're not short. If I stand, you can see these are those are good lengths.
That's above the knees.
Of course, above the knee. What I have below the knee shorts?
Yeah, I don't know.
Am I an asshole?
Yeah. Remember when the Fab Five came in and did like almost like ankle shorts, and people were like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, those are kind of and black socks play, I still have on that I'm still wearing because of them.
Yeah. So your before we start, your special's out now. Came out 2 days ago. How's it doing so far?
we did start, right?
We did start. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. I mean, good point. Good point.
Yeah.
Congratulations, dude. That's fucking awesome.
Thanks. I think it's doing okay. I don't know. I mean, it hasn't. Yeah, I don't know.
What number like recording is this for you? How many albums do you have?
I've done 2 albums. This will be an album, so this will be my 3rd album, and I've done a Comedy Central half hour and a Netflix half hour.
Okay. And now this.
And now this. Yeah. Wow. And you were there. I don't know. I haven't watched it. I'm just going off the feeling of like that night, the first show was like unbelievable, and I was like, that's one of the best shows I've ever done. And then the second show was also really good and fun.
Is that the one I was at?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we were like, the first one was better.
Yeah, so I'm still going off the feeling of, like, I think that was a great night, and I don't want to watch the special. They're making me watch it to do, like, a lot, not making me, but a live fucking chat room.
You didn't help edit and everything?
No.
They
sent me, I guess, I watched a little bit of it. They cut it the way they thought it would be good, and were like, what do you think of this? And I watched, like, a little bit, and I was like, great, and I had my manager and agent make notes.
And they did it. At least somebody did it.
Yeah. They edited it. I think it's like I said.
Forgot
I
it was even the
simple.
Cellar. I was like so excited. I was like, when did you record? I don't know. I guess before. I'm like, oh yeah, I was there.
Yeah, I think it was the end of February. And yeah, it was fucking killer. It was like a special night. We went out afterwards. It was like and
diner food.
It's weird because
that's right.
It's like one of the last shows. I only did one more weekend after that, and. Yeah, it feels like the whole thing happened shortly after that. But
it's weird because there's a feeling of like, I know I killed. And then there's also like, so me and Jay and DeRosa, we got on a fucking long kick of watching a really shitty stand-up on like Amazon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I heard.
Yeah, some of the worst ones. We're like, let's check that. And there's sometimes there's like a comedy show night, you know, where it's like 6 comics doing 5 minutes each and of stuff you've never heard of. And some of them are doing the best they've done. So there's a mixture of like, I know I did well, but then you always want to be like, but I'm not one of them, right?
Yeah, well, I have that all the time because I'm like, and I have to battle with it because I'm like, I do about fucking 20 minutes of airplane jokes.
Yeah.
And then 9 minutes of sex jokes. And I'm like, maybe I'm a hack, but I have this, I had this moment of like, I'm a club comic.
Yeah.
That's what I am. I'm a fucking club comedian. I fly a lot and I have sex and those are funny things to me. And so it's like, it's club comedy.
I hate that shit. Like, don't talk about sex. I'm like, it's what everyone thinks about all the time. What is the male thinks about sex every minute ever?
Yeah, obviously. And it's a hilarious thing. And then like people are like, oh, airplane jokes. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? Like I fly twice a week, every week. And I have anger problems, and so I'm like, there's a lot of situations, and these aren't jokes that people did. I'm not doing somebody else's material.
It's just stuff that happened on an airplane. People don't get it. People have heard like buzzwords,
right?
And then
they're
like, I think I understand the whole subject,
right?
And you're like, you really don't.
Yeah. So I also talk about McDonald's. So on paper, I'm a great big hack, but I think. I don't know. I think they're pretty clever. I think they're funny. And
for sure. You crush, and you're such a good comic, too. But also,
you.
It's like, it's so cool that it's on YouTube, where it's like, are there restrictions on countries or no?
Okay. So, yeah, I had a weird thing where a bunch of people couldn't see. They released a trailer because it's Comedy Central bought it and is putting it on their YouTube.
Yeah.
Which I hope I didn't make a great big mistake. I think I didn't.
No, they'll have a lot of viewers coming with it.
So they put it out, they're putting it out, and the trailer came out, and it wasn't available in Canada and Australia. And then my agent or manager was like, we just found this out, and I fucking like lost my mind. I was like, this is insane. I was like, how would this not have come up? This is crazy. Those are two huge
markets,
English-speaking countries.
And places you can tour,
especially
Canada.
And would like to. It's not... And do. I already do. It's not like, you know, Russia and fucking Mongolia or whatever.
Yeah. I want to go there.
But then I texted Sam Morril, who did his special the same way. He's like, mine's available everywhere. And of course, I wrote like another email being like, fucking Sam's email. And then they wrote back like, yeah, yeah, it's fine. It's going to be available. So
I love those things. Or the, you hit the fan. I do it all the time. And then like, okay, well, just change this button real quick.
Let me
go. I'm like, oh. Oh, I thought it was a conspiracy against me.
Well, in some ways, it gives you like something to be angry about. And you're like, great, I'll put all my energy into this. And then it also gives you the thing of like, well, of course it's not doing well. Australia's where it would have done well. And then you're like,
it's the comedian thing of like, oh, well, the State Fair's in town. I'm like, well, it's been here for a month and a half, and Bobby Lee sold out last week. What do you mean? It's like, it's always something.
Greg Warren has a great one of those. And then I told the story for years, and then the exact thing happened to me. Where he's in the back of the room at whatever Funny Bone, they're like, ah, man, I wouldn't worry about it. It's right now, it's prom season, so it's kind of a thing. He's like, prom? Like, what the fuck?
I don't draw well in high school.
Yeah, and then I told that story for so long, and then I was at a club, and they were like, some kid like legitimately was like, dude, it's prom season right now, so a lot of people. Like, all right, I guess I
like
lost
the 21-year-old manager still thinks prom is big, but like, right. Dude, I draw 30-year-olds.
Well, even if like the parents were like, they could go the next night,
right.
Or they don't go to the prom, they could just go to the 9 o'clock show after they took the photos or whatever. But anyways,
I'm wondering how many fans I have or you have that have 18-year-old children and would make prom their big thing, where they're like, nah, I'm not going out tonight.
I bet there's some. I bet there's a bunch of people with...
I might have some fuck-up fans who, like, bottomed out, had a kid at 16, 17.
Yeah, but I bet you have fans... I think we have fans in their 40s and 50s. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Well, that's the end of the thing.
Exciting podcast of Ari and Joe. It's a one-off. We're not going to do it anymore. But here's what I want to talk to you about, because we went fucking skinny dipping the other day.
What?
Giant Lake. And you were telling me about that's fucking when you used to work at Sears.
Wait, we didn't skinny dip.
Oh, whatever it was, man. I don't know. I touched my dick underwater.
I had a weird moment where I was just then where I was like, oh, somebody else also works at Sears that you went swimming with. And I was like, fuck. By the way, that doesn't pick up that air AC?
No, it's only picking up through here.
Oh, all right.
I mean, you'll barely be able. It's so far away from the mics.
All right. Yes, we went swimming in a lake. We didn't even go swimming in a lake. We went swimming in a hole.
It was a I was talking about the beach. This is when I found out you worked at the thing.
Oh, yeah. We swam in the ocean.
We're in too far into it.
We swam in the ocean trunks.
Were you able to piss by the water or no?
Eventually I did, yeah. I have trouble with it. I've grown a lot mentally, so I'm able to do things that I didn't used to be able to do. But I did piss, and I had to piss outside of the water.
How great is it?
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
I usually have to, and I've done this before in the ocean, I have to physically act out urinating. So I actually will take my dick out under the water.
No.
Just so, because it feels like peeing.
So
I'll be in the water and like pull like the waistband down like this, like I'm pissing, and then hold my dick with the other hand and spray it around.
It's just underwater?
Yeah.
Two questions. One, are you afraid of marine life getting at it?
Not really. I mean, it crosses my mind, certainly, but I'm not afraid because I feel like, I don't know, maybe a blowfish. I don't think they would bite my dick off, but yeah, I guess I am a little bit, but not overly.
Okay, two,
COVID,
two, Skip trying to give fucking food to a homeless dude, he was just going like this. And I was like walking towards him, like, he'll stop eventually. And then I'm like, nope, he doesn't get the food.
I've done that same exact thing, minus the food. I wasn't giving food to anybody.
Just
but
trying
I've
to walk
seen
by
someone
him.
And then I walk around.
Two, are you worried about somebody seeing you with your dick out under the water?
Well, no, this is at a more isolated. This isn't like a beach like that where there's fucking 5,000 people. This is in like, you know, just a few people or in a lake or whatever, like up in Maine where it's, you know, quieter.
Yeah.
So no, not particularly. I should have filled that in.
Piss in your fucking.
No, I have serious like mind body connection problem with urinating. Like I have trouble urinating in my own house with
really?
My wife home. Yeah, like I'll sit in there for like 20 minutes because I start thinking about whatever problem, and it's the same with sex. During sex, I'm sure you've had that where you just start thinking about, you know, your mother's.
Yeah, you can't stop thinking about it. And then you're just like, at some point, you're like, fuck, my boner's gone.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. It'd be weird if it kept going.
Yeah, sorry, my mom came into my mind. But yeah, so I have trouble with that. Plus, there's waves. Plus, people are talking to you. I've never been able to piss freely in my life. And I think part of it's like traumatic. I used to have that problem when I was a kid. And yeah. I remember sitting in the water, like with like out in like the middle of the water, like water skiing with a life jacket. Like,
out there.
Yeah, like deep water. Trying to, and my uncle took the boat over and just started doing like circles around as like a funny haha, he can't piss. And now I'm like in this crazy like wave pool. And it's a thing where you're like, I'm actually like in pain because I can't get this piss out. I've walked to the beach, like I've put shoes on, like walked all the way back to like the fucking bathhouse or whatever the fuck it's called.
To piss inside?
Just to piss inside.
That's the joy of the beach, is to piss in the water. Or by the water.
I disagree. I think the joy is more the salt and the water and the waves and the timelessness of the ocean.
After hearing new details about the beach, I would like to recant my original statement about it being the joy of the beach. And I would say it's one of the joys of the beach.
Yeah, I guess so. It's nice. I like privacy when I urinate. But yeah, the spirituality of the ocean, I think, trumps the urinating outside. Sorry to mention Trump.
Did you piss in that little serene lake we went to when we went camping?
No, but Sarah did. That was the one Sarah pissed in, which is...
While we're in it?
Yes, wild. And she didn't know that was going to be the drinking source. You can hear more about this on Bushcraft Party Boys and One Girl, also on this same
episode
YouTube.
One and only.
One and only.
We should do another one.
But yes, I worked at Sears.
Yeah, so that's I can't believe I never found this out. You were the guy behind the glass.
Yeah, I was the guy behind the glass. I worked loss prevention at Sears. And it's like, there's still times where I'm like, including comedy. Ultimately, comedy probably wins, but I'm like, might be the best job I've ever had. I think I had the best day job of any day job. It was so fucking cool. And my cousin was the boss. I worked with guys that I loved, like great crew. It was like comedy. It was like a great crew of like fun, irreverent dudes and one chick. Who was like a badass and fun.
It was one girl.
There was a couple. There was one woman, Lisa, who kind of like, she wasn't a manager, but she had been there 20 years, and she was like a fucking tough...
Threw it my way.
She was like, everyone knew that she was like the boss of the office. She was a fucking like... I was scared of her. She was like a tough fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, short hair, fucking... Fuck these fucking fucks. Let's get them. Like, it was fun. It was... sexy, frankly. But yeah, she was a badass. And there was mostly dudes. There was a couple girl. There was one girl that worked there for a little bit, and then another one. It was a couple girls here and there, but it was mostly like dudes.
And how old were you?
This was in 05 to 05, 06, a little bit of 07. So I was, that's not the question you asked, 23 to 25.
Oh, okay. You weren't doing stand-up yet, or you were?
No, I was doing stand-up.
Wow.
Yeah. I was doing... stand up, and my boss, who was my cousin, allowed me to work from 10 to 6 so I could better do comedy because I was which is so funny because I was just an alcoholic, but I was like, I work nights, so if I could come in at 10 instead of 9.
Maybe all the open mics are 8 to 10.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You can
and
easily go to bed.
Well, at that point, I was working. I was like doing real comedy, but yeah, I was.
Damn.
4 or 5 years in, yeah.
I was not.
That's because you were in LA. In Boston, there's like all these one nighters and shit.
Oh, right.
You could work.
The Mexicans got the one nighters, but that's about it.
The Mexicans?
The Mexican comics. They had like a work ethic to like, oh no, I'm getting paid. Oh. I'm not doing this for free.
I think that's really fucked up.
In what way?
I think it's just problematic that you bring up people that are underprivileged in a situation where we're obviously, you know, I can't even do it. I couldn't even like improvise it.
You're like, what are the terms they use all
know.
The time? What are the type of things? Punching down?
Yeah, something. I had nothing.
So, wow. Okay, so who hired you?
My cousin. So I moved to... I never had any planning. I lived in Whitman with my parents on the South Shore, and I was like, I'm moving to Everett with Tom Dustin, who you know, great comic, who you should have on sometime. He's got amazing stories, but...
He's got the stomach stamp?
Stomach stamp.
Who's got the... Oh, that's Odo.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Who has the fucking... tube that goes into his fucking belly.
Oh, Bulger.
Bulger.
Dan Bulger, yeah. He's diabetic.
Yeah.
So I moved to Everett, and I was like, I'm just, like, he had a roommate opening. I was like, I got to move. I want to move to Boston, whatever. So I moved to the city of Everett, which is just north of Boston. And then I was like, I don't have a job. I had no money. Like, I was making, like, $300 a week. So I talked to my cousin, who was the boss, and he hired me, which was fun because I had to go in and get, like, interviewed. But it was like, I'm going to get the job. But it was great because it was, in some ways, like, a lot of... It was similar to comedy in a way in that it was, like, observational. You're just watching people and being like, that guy's fucked up. This is interesting. Whatever.
Yeah.
Basically profiling. but, yeah, so that was the job, was, like, catching shoplifters. They had, like, this is in Burlington, Massachusetts, home of Stephen Wright, who every once in a while would come into the store, and I would just watch him on the cameras. And then have to be like, you can't just watch Stephen Wright. I'm like, I know, but he's fucking a legend, man.
Why not? How could you expect him not to? Yeah.
But, yeah, so, like, we did a lot of shit. Like, we would get, like, internal, which was, like, employees stealing, and then shoplifters. Yeah, we had that a few times, which was great.
So, whoa.
Dude, it's the it was the best job ever.
How much did it pay?
Oh, I have no idea. Probably, like, $10.75 or something like that an hour. I mean, like, low money.
Did you have, so it was just loss prevention in general. You weren't just behind the cameras.
That was, like, became, like, my expertise or whatever. We also did, like, if the elevator went down or the escalator went down, we had to call and shut that down and call whatever. And then, like, we counted jewelry at the end of the night and stuff and locked up and anything lost. If there was vomit, we had to go clean it up.
Ugh. How's that loss prevention?
Because someone could slip on it or sue or get sick or whatever the fuck.
And prevent loss.
One time... Just a quick story that came up, and we'll get to all the stories, I guess. But my friend Dave Stewart, who's now a state trooper, great guy.
Guitarist from the Eurythmics?
No.
Hmm. No. Okay.
Better than that guy.
Yeah.
That band stinks. But we were doing battle shits, you know, when you shit next to somebody?
Yeah.
In the stall. We call it battle shits. And our job was to clean up puke. And at one point, I just had a real muddy, mucky shit. Mm. And I wiped it my ass and then reached around, showed it to him, and then stuck it on his side of the divider. And he just immediately threw up. it was like wipe, stick, splat. And it was our job. So he had to clean up his own puke, which was great. And then I had to come in and, like, peel it off. It was so fucking nasty. But it was like one of those peanut butter, orange and brown fucking, like, and I think it was like the combination of the sound and the thing that he just lost it immediately.
Also, it's someone else's fucking
Yeah, it was my mushy poo in his booth, or whatever you call it, stall.
Blech. There's nothing like cleaning up somebody's vomit.
Yeah, well, that was his own, but it was just perfect because he was like, blah, and I was like, oh, you gotta go get the shit. But there was, like, it was improved because when we were kids, it was like, when I was a kid, I don't know, you were in your 20s, but there was, like, sawdust, but now they have, like...
Oh, to cover up the vomit.
Yeah, but now there's, like, a thing that makes it into, like, sand real quick.
Wait, what?
Or,
no, we did not have
sand.
That at the Comedy Store. We had a mop.
I think, maybe I might be, like, remembering this wrong, but I think, yeah, I think there was shit you fucking, like, a powdery thing you dump on it, and it makes it, like, just,
and you
can
sweep it.
Frosted flakes. You can kind of sweep it up, yeah. Yeah, technology's great.
You ever see a vomit out in the street, like, when you're walking back from the stand or something, and just think, like, whose night was that? What happened from start to finish?
Yeah, I mean, I was that guy all the time.
Oh.
I was always fascinated, although when I was drinking, most of my vomiting happened the next day. I was like a hungover throw-upper. Oh. I never was like a wild drinking throw-upper. But some people throw up and then just keep going, which was always wild.
What, puke and rally?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I remember the first feeling of like, I can't keep going and then throwing up. Like, oh, hello.
Right, yeah, you kind of feel better, I guess. I don't know. I was always good until the next day, and I'd fucking throw up all day.
That sucks.
But anyway, so yeah, that was one story. But so I ended up being, and again, part of this was just like alcoholic laziness. I'd try to get out of doing any of the
hard
stuff.
Yeah.
But like right away, I was kind of like a phenom. Like I came in, and we had Burlington, for whatever reason, they had like the best, most advanced camera system. We had 22 moving cameras and then another, I think, like 60 still cameras. So you could like, but it had like a zoom in knob and then like a 360. It was fucking.
You could move the thing and like follow that guy.
Move, zoom, the whole thing. So you could really zoom in on their pocket and all that shit. And then you slowly got the skills of knowing each camera. 1 through 19 were the moving ones. And you could slowly be like, sick, camera 7, go to 7, go to 9. It was pretty fucking amazing.
And why would you do that? Because you in order to stop them, you needed like real proof?
Well, that person would be on the move and it would record a DVD. So you'd want to have every second of them in the store.
Because so like we saw it.
Yeah, if it went to court or whatever.
Oh.
And you want to have a disc of like, here is... Like, especially the big ones.
It, putting it in his pocket.
So you could hand the judge a fucking, here's a DVD of every moment of this guy. And then we'd try to retroactively find the still cameras of when he walked in and everything. You're like, here's every minute that he's in the store.
Here's him not with a purse.
Yes, no, exactly.
With a purse.
Yeah, and a lot of times it was teenagers going into, they would go into the dressing room and then come out and we would go in. Like, we'd count the items with the camera. Okay, they have 3 blue bras, 1 red bra, or a pair of panties. Then they'd come out with nothing. We'd go in, check the stall. Then you're like, there's 1 pair of panties, but that's it. And then she's not holding anything. She's got the bra and panties.
Would
you
like run in there real fast?
Yeah, someone would get close. So we had people on the floor.
Oh, gun the move, be ready.
People in the camera, in the room. What the fuck was the room called? Like the camera room.
Okay.
And then we had little radios.
Ops.
What's that?
Ops?
Nah, I don't know what we've called it. Bass. We call it bass.
Bass. That's a good name for it. Yeah.
Then we'd have radios. You'd have your little radio on your belt.
Would you have these?
No, none of those.
Oh, fuck.
Nah.
Damn.
But I'd always want one of these things.
Yeah.
Or like the collar. Or whatever you call this. The sleeve. So then if you were in bass, you had the radio thing, which is a little... You press this button, just like in the movies, and you would scratch the thing. So it would just be like... Ch-ch-ch. So if you're on the floor, you would just hear your radio go... Ch-ch-ch-ch. That way you don't hear like, hey, Ari.
Right.
That way, so if you're on the floor, you're undercover, fucking looking around.
You can't have a walkie-talkie.
You had the walkie-talkie, but it would start with like, and then no one ever thinks anything of that. And you could kind of keep it down, then walk away and be like, hey, what's up? Hey, bass, this is Joe, what's up?
Oh, interesting.
And then if you saw someone on the floor, you could call bass and go, hey, camera 14, we got a guy in children's clothes. He's got a... Like, there was a lot of different... tells, like, you know, someone wearing a winter coat and when it's warm out. A lot of times you'd see someone with a bag from a store that we don't have in the mall.
So they,
like, he's got a DSW bag. There's no DSW in this mall.
So that's his shoplifting bag.
Yeah, so that would be an idea. I mean, sometimes it would just be a fucking guy that looked like a crackhead, or probably heroin or pills at the time. But and then sometimes it would just be teenagers, like any like little group of young teenagers in Sears is like... teenagers are going to Sears to fucking buy jeans or whatever.
Yeah.
Shorts.
Really, it sucks when they ride up.
I hate the ride.
Those are tight, like hipstery ones too.
Are they?
They're a little bit tight. Not like too tight, but they're like towards the...
Oh, God.
The hip. Hip. It's kind of short.
I'm going to kill myself. But anyway, so yeah. So I ended up going there and like almost immediately... I think one of my first or second stop was like a huge one, like a felony, like 250 is a felony. So a lot of people know the laws, people that steal like professionally. So they'll steal like a toolkit that's $248.
They'll like try to like Price is Right it.
Exactly. So they know what they're doing to be like, nah, it's not a felony. Fuck you.
Yeah.
But like one of my first ones was a guy that just picked up 2 huge DeWalt, that was like the big expensive
the
things.
Uh-huh.
And he put like 2 in a shopping cart. And then I was like, what the fuck? That was weird. And I was really good because, like I said, similar to comedy, I had spent time in the city and like being at open mics and meeting all kinds of different people and fucking drug addicts and fuck ups and crazy people. And you do that with the audience. Like the same thing we judge an audience, you do with like that. Like you're like, that guy's going to suck. This guy's drunk. That woman's going to fall down. It was very similar. Like you learn a lot from being on stage and you're always hyper aware of every fucking situation. And who's where. I also am like been afraid of getting beat up my whole life. So I've always been like street smart in a way. And so to me, it was like easy. But without really any training, I just happened to be like looking around and saw a guy and like dead giveaway, walked in with a shopping cart, just grabbed 2 DeWalt fucking drill sets, And I was like, hey, this guy just grabbed two fucking $500 drills. Like, nobody shops like that. Nobody's just grabbing fucking things. And sure enough, he just walked straight out the door with them.
What?
And we've got them. And it was like this huge, it was like the biggest stop in months that we had had. It was like 4 months. And everyone was like, Joey, you piece of shit. You fucking did it. Like, I was like Henry Hill, you know? Like, they're like, like, it was crazy. And then, like, I think the next day I came in and got someone again. This time it was like $70 or whatever. And then, like,
oh, now you're the man.
2 days later, I got some girls getting costume jewelry. And we had a spreadsheet. Every time we had a stop, you'd write down their name and what they had, and then who got the spot, we called it. And then it would be like everyone's initials, and I had like three in a row, like my first week. And everyone was like, this is unprecedented. Listen, we've never seen anything like this. And I was like, they were like fucking holding me up and shit. And so it was exciting. And then what happens is, like, you're like, you got kind of lucky, and then you go on like droughts. But yeah, so that was kind of like my cousin ended up being like, you're the fucking shoplift guy. That's your, like, don't worry about all this other shit.
We're not wasting your talents on vomit.
Yeah, like, you get in there.
Mikey, you do vomit.
But
fuck it.
I fucking loved it. I mean, first of all, it must have changed so much, that business or racket, whatever, because we didn't have smartphones at the time. We had a computer, and Facebook had just come out because I couldn't use it because I didn't have a college. You needed a college email at that time.
Oh, just come out.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know the time. I mean, I'm always afraid someone's going to be like, no, dude, it came out in 04 or whatever the fuck. But I distinctly remember having my friend Justin, who's now a cop as well. That job is sort of like a gateway into, what do you call it, law enforcement. But I remember him like being like, sign in, see if you can find this girl, like looking for women, because I didn't have a college email because I'm an idiot. But yeah, so we had a computer that we would get distracted and use occasionally, but there was no smartphones. But like now I imagine people are just ransacking stores because everyone's looking at fucking Instagram all day. So
those guys are down like this, like scrolling, and just people are just taking advantage.
Yeah, I would imagine, because it was tedious. It was like hours and hours of just watching.
And how would you not do that? Start scrolling.
Totally. And so I do remember like long days of just nothing happened, because I worked weekdays mostly, didn't work at night because of comedy. So there was like long hours of like, there's fucking nobody in here. They're like three old ladies, and you just kind of watch someone. And then we'd go out to the mall. You'd be able to walk out in the mall. You'd be like, hey, I'm going to the mall. And then you'd kind of walk around for a little bit. And but when we had some really fucking memorable stops that were like great and exciting.
Like, okay, well, first, did you get to look at people changing?
No, you can't have cameras in the bathroom.
It's not through the mirror, through the glass thing. I always thought there was like one at a random one where as you're changing, someone's like right behind it or with a camera behind it.
No, that is illegal. Yeah, that's a sex crime, as a matter of fact.
I thought they had men doing the men's stuff and women doing the women's stuff.
Still a sex crime.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah,
a lot of new stuff I'm finding out.
Yeah, no, you cannot videotape people changing. So no, bathroom, that's why we had to do it in the dressing room. You would have to
see where they're going in.
Figure out what they have, go in, double. And those were always scary because they're stealing it off. So you'd always be worried about a bad stop, which is when you stop someone that didn't steal.
What happens then?
I've had two of them, that was later on when I no longer was like perfect, the new guy.
Yeah.
I was like, I fucked up. I think twice. One I really remember because my cousin and I made the stop and he was the boss. And so it was a big deal. But I kept rewinding and showing him over and over again, and the guy looked like a regular, maybe I shouldn't say this because he's still in the business, but the guy looked like just like a regular businessy dude. Like, but he brought in his own suit. He must have been fucking trying to match colors or whatever.
Okay.
But he had a fucking shitty plastic bag, and I'm trying to remember, he pulled it out and put it back in, but the bat, and I kept rewatching it, and it is like a relatively grainy camera, and it was enough that I'm like, I don't know, I'm not sure, what do you think? And we both kind of kept doing that, like, fuck, I don't know.
This reminds me of American Sniper.
You kind of just have that thing of like, ah, fuck it, let's go see. And then we chased him down, and the guy was like, what? He was like a cunt about it, of course. He was like, what? Who's your boss? What is this shit? Oh, I fucking, oh, I'm a businessman. Like, oh, this whole thing.
Were you just like, can I see what's in the bag?
Yeah. Like, we were kind of like, sir, we need to stop you. We need to check your bag. And he did this whole fucking shit about,
whoa,
I didn't do anything, and pull up the cameras, and who the fuck's your boss, and yada, yada. And we ended up having to, like, you know, tell the regional manager. And then we showed him the tape. And he was pretty, like, we were both really good at our jobs. And he was like, we showed him the tape. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, I get it. I see what you're seeing.
Did you look at his bag?
Yeah, yeah. And it was just like his bullshit, whatever.
The rest of you got to be like, fuck, dude. Well, clearly I'm wrong here. Sorry.
Yeah, you kind of have to just be like, yeah, sorry. Sorry about that. And hope that he's like, yeah, take care. But he was a fucking, I don't know. Like, I've had that happen to me before, and it's, like, annoying, but you're just like, yeah, dude, yeah, that's mine.
Yeah.
I didn't fucking steal, and it's annoying, but he did the, like, let's go back to the store right now. I want to see your camera. I want to talk to this guy. I should call the police.
I know, but it's like, what's the big deal, bro? Do you know that some people do steal from here?
Yeah, yeah, and it's, you want to be like, yeah, you have a fucking Stop and Shop plastic bag, and you brought your own dumb, shitty suit in, you fucking asshole.
It's like, okay, we're wrong, but just, can I just see it?
Right.
I would never let, when on Best Buy, when you're on the way out, like, I need to check your receipt. I'm like, no, I'm out of the store already. I already bought this thing.
Yeah, well, I know some tricks of the trade now from working the inside.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing is that, like, if you get stopped by a Sears employee or whatever store, well, Sears is gone now, I just realized.
Oh, yeah.
Or just remembered.
What are kids jerking off to?
If you just don't go back, you can just be like, no. Like, I have no power over these people. You can threaten to call the police, and obviously you can call the police.
But, like, by the time they get here, I'm going to keep walking, so.
Yeah, people could just be like, yeah, no. No. I didn't do that. You could just be like, I didn't. No, I don't have that.
I did throw somebody at the Comedy Store once. Rogan was on stage. I was working the door. And some heckler, and eventually he's like, you know what, dude? You got to go. Fuck off. You're gone. And me walked over there, thinner than you are now. And yeah. I was like, you got to go. He just goes, like, so he's sitting down. I'm standing over him. He just goes, no. I'm like, fuck, he got me. Even if I wanted to do something, it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, it's hard. I had one moment like that where I stopped these two teenagers, and I was like 23, and they were probably 17 or 18.
Yeah.
But again, I was just like a drunk fucking idiot. Like, I didn't have any skill or working out. And there was two of them, and they were probably like toughish teenagers, and they were definitely like flexing, like, why? What are you going to do? And like,
and you're like, I don't know.
I was shitting my pants, and we had this guy, Marquise, who was like a huge black guy, probably like huge, like fit, like 6'5".
Who worked with you guys?
Yeah, yeah. He was on our crew, our team, whatever you call it.
Okay.
And then he came at that, just that moment. And I was like, I knew he was there. But it was that thing of like, please, Marquise, get here any second. Because I was like having that thing where like, fight or flight kicks in, and I'm like starting to shake, and like my neck's quivering. These two like high school kids are making me shit my pants, and I was just trying to be like, well, you know, you have to, I know you stole, and you gotta be here. And then you just see like Marquise coming in with like cornrows and being like, woo! And then all of my energy just shifted right to them. I mean, they saw like this guy and were like, ooh, don't call our death. It was like so satisfying because they played it right. Like, if it was just me, it would be like, fuck, you're right.
What are you going to do
don't
about it, old
up.
Man?
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, shit, 25. I don't know. I'm
not that old.
Damn. Yeah, it was definitely nerve-wracking at times. And then sometimes we had, like, actual criminals. Like, you had fucking heroin addict criminal people that you're like, we're standing outside being like, we're going to try to stop this guy. This guy could fucking shoot us or stab us, which does happen occasionally. Like, people have been stabbed and shit.
Lately, now, the mask stuff. You see, like, I got shot over a mask?
No.
Please wear a mask. I was like, shot some fucking store clerk.
No, it was like a dangerous,
I think a cigar store. Yeah.
It is like a dangerous job in ways. So it was definitely nerve-wracking, but we had like enough bigger guys. But there was guys that I was more comfortable making a stop with because you're like, they were bigger or older or whatever the fuck.
I got into a fight at New York Comedy Club with that big fucking white bouncer. He looks like a fucking redneck, like offensive lineman.
Oh, I don't know any white bouncers at New York Comedy Club.
And he worked at the one on 24th. He's just like, I don't know, young, baby-faced, but yeah, once he gets involved, I'm like, hey, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
It's just like all the bravery
comes.
Yeah, you
fucking loser. And you're like, but yeah, there was some memorable stops for sure. And then the fun, I mean, there's a few fun things. It's hard to figure out where to go into.
Yeah.
One really fun thing, I guess I have two thoughts at once. The best way to steal, if you want to steal from a department store,
okay,
I've learned.
That I want to know. You're fucking hidden. How do you beat the system from the inside?
I would say two things. No one ever did this that I know of. Two things is, one, a distraction.
Where,
because we had to deal with like injury, a seizure, or whatever. Like if somebody, because that's all lost too, because they can sue. So if a rack falls on their head, you sprain your ankle, you slip and fall. That, you have one person do that, pretend to fucking sprain an ankle, because then we're all working on it. Because we only have three or four people at a time.
Wow.
And so everyone's kind of focused on that. And the other thing is minimal time. The most successful things were grab and go, which is like a term in the business, grab and go. And that's like a curbside where people would just pull up, run in, fucking grab an armful of coats, run out. You're in there for 20 seconds. There's zero we can do.
You're like, he's, and it is gone.
Half the time, you don't even know. We get a call from an employee being like, someone just took a fucking entire rack. And then we retroactively go to that camera and we're like, whoa, shit.
Because you were following some fucking businessman with a members only suit.
Yeah, and it's a huge store. It's two floors. You can only look at so much. And so that would be, that combination of those two things would be great. I mean, you could kind of pull up a license or whatever, maybe, or make of car. And
try
that
to
may
figure,
have,
yeah.
But the minimal time, because the longer you're in the store, the longer you have the chance to
more
get picked up.
The more cameras you're on.
Yeah, and the more we're like, what's this guy doing? Why is he in that corner? Where's he going?
Do you remember Minority Report with Tom Cruise?
A little bit. I'm not into that shit.
So somebody's future, but he's like this with all these like cameras, and he's like getting different angles about what's going to happen in the future, and he's really just got it all really there. Well, my point was, if you hadn't seen it, forget it.
All right, great. It's forgotten.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had those every once in a while, grab and go, which was exciting because it's like we're on the other side of the store. There's just nothing we could do. Like you're just like, all right, that's a huge loss.
I like the distraction thing. I feel like you're too moral, but like me and someone else could go, like, I could like knock a display over onto someone else. I'm like, oh fuck. I'm like, oh shit, I'm so sorry, dude. While our buddy, Lewis, is just taken.
Yeah, I would agree, except you don't go Lewis.
No, Lewis caused a distraction.
Yeah,
someone like
yeah.
me should be stealing.
Yeah, you gotta get.
But
yeah.
I've got stuff to lose if I get caught. Lewis has no future.
Right, that's true. He has a child.
Child, though, yeah. Okay, so maybe Sagalow.
Yeah, Sagalow. He's...
No one would suspect Sagalow.
He's garbage, yeah.
Yeah,
bad
fashionable
person.
Things?
Stinks.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, stinks. Literally smells.
Is that true?
Oh, have you been near him?
A bunch of times.
It's not true.
All right. Ari said it's not true. He said it very quietly, so I don't want to... Are these working?
Are they? So
you always have that moment where you get to in a podcast where you're like, I think this is good. This would suck if we lost it.
Did you ever lose podcasts? Early on, I lost a few.
Yeah, I lost a Tuesdays with Stories early on, and I remember really thinking, I was like, that was the best one.
I thought I lost one with Neil Brennan, just like halfway through looking down, and the counter's not going on the Zoom. And I'm like, ah, fuck, it cut off? I'm like, no, it never cut on.
Yeah.
You have to hit record twice. And then you're like, and I lost one with Liz Mealy. We did a whole one. The thing fell and just like,
oof.
And then it was like, I'm just going to quit. I'm just not going to do this podcast anymore.
It's too much
work for nothing.
I think that happened with Nick Griffin. I recorded an entire podcast with him. He started a podcast. We talked for an hour. And then he was like, I fucked up. It just didn't record. And I don't think he ever had a podcast. I think he literally was like, fuck
I love
that.
Those. How many of those podcasts you do? Like, I'm doing one. It's like, it never come out at all.
Yeah, I think that happened. But maybe it came out and I don't know. But, the other exciting thing to talk about was Flim Flam, which I think is a term used for other stuff too. But Flim Flam in our business, you're going to love this. So this was a thing that people did. This was like a scam, Flim Flam scam, where people...
That's such a stupid term.
Would, yeah. Well, I didn't name it. So this was when... What people would do was these criminals...
Okay, it's working. Yeah.
These criminals would... they had like Sears receipt. They would steal like Sears paperwork from behind the register, like Sears receipt paper. And then they would print up a thing. They would call businesses, always bars or some kind of big business, and say, hey, I'm calling from Sears. This is Ari Shaffir. I work at Sears. We have a big discount on TVs. We know you have a bar. We're going to sell you 15 big screen, flat screen TVs for $8,000 or some crazy price, and you pick them up. It's cash only. These are old TV, whatever bullshit, cash only. You pick them out outside these doors, and we had at our store two old doors that didn't work. They were painted black. They were just like, it looked like doors, but they weren't doors any longer. And then they would pull up in their van, and then a guy would be there in a blue shirt or whatever, and he would have the Sears receipt and say 15 TVs all typed out with the thing, and he'd go, here's your receipt, just give me the money, and then I'll come right out with the TVs. And this happened, it sounds ridiculous. You're like, who would ever, this happened.
Wait, let me make, I'm sure, the thief, the perp.
Yes.
Is coming in with the receipt.
He's got a receipt for it, yeah.
And he says, here, give me the money. Give who the money? Who
gives him the money? He takes the money.
Because he's about to bring in a bunch of...
Yeah. He's like, so open the van. You get the van.
I work at Sears. Work at Sears. Look at my shirt. You can trust me. Work with you.
No, they don't work at Sears.
But are they saying they work at Sears? They're saying they work at a bar.
The perp is at Sears. The bar people actually own a bar.
Oh, okay.
These are bar owners that think they're buying five flat screen TVs for their restaurant or bar at a huge discounted price. And I think they think it's a little
too good to be
shady,
true.
But they're like, wow, all right. And then they come out with the official Sears receipt paper.
This perp.
Yes. And he's like, here's the paperwork. And these are the doors. And we'll be right back. Just give me the cash. I'll go ring it up. And then we'll be right out. Get the van ready. Yada, yada. He goes, throws the phone in the trash, the fucking cell phone, whatever, and just takes off with a pile of cash.
Into the mall, going to another place.
Or wherever the fuck, yeah. Or maybe his car's around the corner, whatever.
Wow.
And it sounds crazy, but this would happen like almost once a week. Couple times a month, yeah.
Wow.
And we would call the police, and the police would show up, and they'd go, okay. And basically, the people would always show up. They'd always knock on our window.
Yeah.
Like 5 minutes later, the people that were buying the TVs. And they'd be like, I just fucking sold. Where are my TVs? Yada, yada. And they would slowly realize that they just lost all their fucking money. And we'd be like, we'll call Burlington police. They'll be right down. And they're like, what the fuck is this? Where's the guy? I'm calling. And they would always, every person would be like, I'm calling him right now. And you're like, that phone's in the trash. You're not calling anybody. And then the police would come down. And the police always hated these guys because they'd all be yelling at the police and yelling at us. And we would always say the same thing. We're like, just so you know, for the future, Sears does not conduct any transactions outside of the store.
No one will go
never
to your
have,
place.
Never will. We don't do business outside the fucking store. And then the cops would always come and be like, you thought you were buying 12 TV? Like, what are you up to? The cops would be like, why don't we bring you in? You thought you were buying 12 fucking flat screen TVs.
You think rape victims have it tough?
Cash.
What about these guys who got swindled in Sears?
You're like, the cops would just be like, you're up to no good also. You're buying 10 TVs cash outside the fucking store.
Yeah.
What did you think was going on? And but it was really kind of a fun part of the job to watch someone be like, and sometimes it was a ton. It would be like $15,000 and shit.
And you see it hit them on their face like,
oh, yeah. It was like, it was fine. I mean, you felt bad, but you were also like, again,
you're not liable at all. So it's like,
right. And you feel bad, but you're also like, you're a fucking moron. You handed somebody that much cash outside because they had a fucking receipt.
There was a show on FX 15-ish years ago. It was a British show about like long cons. I think it was called Heist or Con or something like that. It was a black dude was the lead. And they always said you can't cheat the honest people. You can only cheat a cheater.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can only kind of, because they have to like willingly go into it like with something like that.
Yeah, I mean, most people, I'm sure, I don't know what the percentage of them, their targets that are like,
they're not
no.
paying full price. They think they're getting over on somebody.
They're like, what? No way. Because it would be a big discount, whatever. But it was always, we'd go and try to find the camera. But they were good. That was the other thing. They were good at being, we had no cameras outside that door because there was no door. So we didn't need cameras
and
there.
They would meet them right outside that door?
Yeah. So they were really, they knew the fucking store.
And then, wow.
And it happened a lot. But one time, so this is the best.
Heroes. Yeah.
So we zoomed in on a thing. And I'm trying to remember this correctly. I remember the visual. I'm just trying to remember the whole story. But there was a van, because it would always be a van, that always, the people picking up the TVs were always in a van or a truck, and we saw a van, and we like kind of zoomed in, and you could see three guys sitting in a van, and there was like, it was like fucking Kramer and Newman. Like there was like a guy in the driver's seat, and the guy in the, this seat, and there's a guy in the back, and he had a fucking club like this. He was just doing that, like holding a fucking bat, and we were like convinced, we were like, these people are about to get flim-flammed, and they showed up like knowing like the guy had a fucking baseball bat, like
they're gonna rob us.
Let's see what happens. If like they must have known, like we're trying to buy 10 TVs cash, this is shady, but we're gonna fucking destroy this guy if something happens. And nothing, I don't think anything ever came of it, and it might have just been a coincidence, maybe, I can't remember fully, but I just remember us watching these three people, and they kept looking around in a van. We're like, I guarantee those people are here to buy TVs.
I keep thinking of titles as Flim Flam Man.
But yeah, that was a fun part. But it got, it happened so often that we were like, you'd end up just being like, get a knock on our window, would slide it open, and they'd be like, someone just took all my men, and we'd be like, flim flam, someone wanted to take this.
Wow.
Call BPD, we got a flim flam. All right. Yeah, yeah, sir, we'll be right with you. Burlington Police is on the way. And
like, no, no, just the TVs, please. Oh, okay. Yeah. I got two bad news for you.
That's what they would do. I forgot. Yeah. But sometimes
the deal was ended, and
before they were mad, they would be like, I'm here to pick up TVs. And you'd just be like, hey, guys, we got to just call the cops. Yeah, yeah, you're not getting any TVs. And they'd be like, what?
Who the fuck are you? Let me talk to your manager. Like, you're barking up the wrong tree.
You just want to be like, just skip all that and just tell the cop. And yeah, that always that thing of like, I'm going to call him, I'm going to find him. And the cops would just be like, no. It's
you have anything on camera? You don't? Great. That's great. Do you ever have a brawl or anything break out? Like fights that you had to break up?
No, I don't.
You would have had to break them up, right?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I didn't have that, but we had some physical.
Did they give you a taser or a baton?
No.
Damn.
No, and we had handcuffs, and we did a little handcuff training, which was fun.
Nice. Ooh, I just got hard.
We never used him. I chased a kid, like a teenager, through the... this was funny, too, because at the time, I was, like, out of shape. I had stopped running and was drinking, and he was young, and I chased him and chased him and chased him. And finally, we caught him, but I was so fucking out of breath, but trying to be cool and tough and being like, you're a big trouble. You're fucking... You keep living like this, you're not gonna... You're just gonna end up like shit, man. And it was just, like, so hard, trying so hard to be cool.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But being, like, fucking completely out of breath. And, like, all right. And the kid was, like, not even sweating. And I'm like, we're gonna bring you back. But you better ship up and shape up or whatever the fuck shit. But another fun thing was internals.
What does that mean?
That was people stealing at work there.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had this fake, and this is where I really thrived. We would have all these DVDs in a file, and some of it was real paperwork and stuff, but a lot of it was just bullshit. Like, my cousin would be like, dude, just bring in. He's like, when we're interrogating him, in the middle of it, I'm going to say, Joe, go get the thing. You go and get this file and just come back and throw it on the desk and then just sit back down. And it was like, it was just nothing. It was just horseshit.
Nice.
And it was so fun. I was like, oh, God, I love this.
That's fucking great.
Great. So I'd like sitting
That's
there.
That's great.
And he does all the talking, and I'm just like this, you know? And it's like some 17-year-old kid shitting his pants. And then he'd be like, Joe, go get them. I'm like, yeah, I'll be right back. And then I would go and like wait outside the door and then open it and be like, throw it down. And I'd throw it in a way that it would like slide, and like a DVD came sliding. Sit back down, and the kid would be like, and would have to... We had an idea of how much they stole, but you'd try to get them to admit how much they stole because you could get
more.
You could get it out. They stole more than we're even aware of because it takes a long time.
Before you suspected them, they must have been stealing.
Oh, totally. There was one woman that was like, I felt bad for her because she was like a middle-aged woman and she seemed like she was like, I don't know, on the spectrum, a little off.
Yeah.
And had worked there for like 20 years and obviously just wasn't making enough money. Sears pays shit. Life is hard. Fucking, you know, I'm a liberal. And... We notice slowly, like when you're doing the register, it takes a fucking while to be like, all right, we have registers off, and everyone works a different register every night, and you'd be like, this register's off $20 this night, this register's off $40 this night, this register's off $80, now it's $10 here, $5, $20, all these nights, and you'd have to go through all of those things and be like, all right, let's figure out all the employees that were working this night.
Because multiple people use the same register.
Yeah, multiple people use the register, whatever. Yeah. And it was too much to go through every transaction and see who signed in. And you'd slowly be like, okay, these five people maybe were working that night. And then we would be like, we have a pretty sure this woman was working. It's this woman because she's in that department, whatever. And so then we would do like a stakeout, basically, is just have the fucking camera for her 8-hour shift. We would just watch that register with the camera zoomed in on that till. And it was so fucking cool, so fun. And then eventually, blah, 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 credit card, cash, this, that, that. And then you just go, whoop, there it was. And you just see her like palm just a fucking 20, put it in her pocket, keep moving. And at that point, she was so slick at it. And you're like, there we go, we got her.
Wow, and she just kept going.
And then you would just go down there, and it was such a great video. It almost gives me like goosebumps, which is like embarrassing, because I remember watching the video, and it was like zoomed in on the till. You see her take it, and then the next transaction, it opens, and then you don't. It's close up, and you just see my cousin's hand come in and just slam the drawer shut. And then it like pans out. She's like, oh, she starts like crying, because right away, as soon as he shuts that drawer, he just grabs her, takes her in the back.
And she knows she's fucked.
Yeah, she's like,
what the fuck? Oh, shit.
Yeah, you're like, oh, fuck, the jig is up. But you feel bad. I felt bad, because it's like this woman that obviously is like trying to fucking steal extra money, whatever. But, you know, you're not allowed to do that.
Right. She's crying, too.
Was crying. She was shaking and upset, and like everyone thinks they're going to jail and the whole thing. And my cousin too. I mean, like we're all very like compassionate, you know, people. Yeah. So he always was like, went as easy as possible. But you'd write up a deal of like, hey, you got to pay this money back, like, or else we're gonna have to fucking call the police.
Could you let people go? Did you have the discretion to say, oh, I'm not going to say anything to your parents. I'm not going to fire you.
Well, teenagers, we had a thing. He made them write an essay. It would be like a 1,000-word essay. Well, you got to bring it back. And some of those were fucking hilarious. A part of that was like just for us, our entertainment. Because some of them are kids that are fucking retarded. Like they're fucking idiots. And so you read it and you're like, Jesus Christ, this is bad.
There's no future.
Some of them were like really genuine. And like, I think there were some people that wrote letters like, years later, they were like, that really helped me and turned me around and shit. Parents would write letters, they'd come back with the parents and apologize. So that was good.
When they
wrote
letters years later and said they really turned me around, was it part of you? Did you want to tell them, like, oh, I actually don't care at all?
Well, that
if you turned it around, I was just having fun that day for myself.
That was hard. I remember one time talking to my friend John Hickey, who was like from Charlestown Projects and was kind of like a gangster, a kid. And I remember him like explaining to me, like came over to my house. We were all hanging out and drinking. And he's like, you're a fucking rental cop, dude. He's like, fuck you. He's like, these people are fucking, you work for Sears. You work for the man. And I remember like being like, fuck you. You can't just, but also thinking like, yeah, no, it's, yeah. Yeah, I'm like fucking over these young.
I mean, you're not putting a thumb down on anybody. You're like, don't steal.
Yeah, you're torn because you're like, I get it. It's just my job. It's my gig for $10 an hour.
Yeah.
That I'm like, fucking call the cops on this guy, and maybe their lives are fucked up because of it. But, you know, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
You can't steal. But I don't know. It was weird. I guess I had some moral things. I guess.
I would whatever. Feel like I'd be like, all right, get out of here. Sometimes, and other times I wouldn't, and it would be based on like my own internal.
Yeah, a lot of times we would do that. If they were fucking assholes, you're like, fuck you, fuck this guy. But a lot of times it's like, we got our shit back, and we get to register it in our thing of like, you know, you get graded because it's a corporation. And also, for my cousin, like, you have to do it because it's like, that's his job. He's going to lose his job. He's like, yep. I have to have the... And we were the best store. We were the best Sears in New England. It was like... We were always number one or number two in like...
In what?
Catching shoplifters and like preventing loss.
Do you have quotas?
I don't think we didn't have quotas, but like they had like goals, and also it was like it was a big picture thing of like loss included theft and whatever, and a lot of it was like preventing and like putting spider wrap, they called it, that wrap that alarm sets off an alarm, you know, when you go to like if you go to like Best Buy or whatever the fuck,
yeah.
PS4s have a black thing attached to it that they have to take off. Oh. It's called spider wrap. And then you'd also have a thing that'd also be like the shit of where to place stuff, of like move these drills away from the door.
Because they're too big and too easy.
Yeah, put
too expensive.
This over here, put those in the back. And then
put a mattress
kinda,
by the door. Nobody's running
right,
in and jumping.
Right.
Yeah.
A display over in this way, and this kind of blocks that exit a little bit. And then put this camera here, and then During Christmas time, we had what we called the Redcoats, and I don't mean the British Army, folks. But you'd have, we had like fake security where we would just hire people literally to have red jackets on that said Sears Security and walk around just as a deterrent because the stores were so busy. So you'd get like, we'd get like senior citizens, they get $8.75 to walk around with a red jacket on.
Wow.
So just people would be like, oh shit, there's a fucking, you know, old asshole over there.
That's my favorite of those is when you see a parked car, cop car in a speed trap area, and then you like slow down and you're like, that's a dummy in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, it worked, I guess.
Yeah, just like deterrent shit. So I got really into it. It was like really fun. And then also we were like the coolest kids in school because we were the fucking lost prevention. Everyone was kind of like afraid of us. They're like, oh shit, because they didn't want to get, because they knew we were watching them.
You were internal affairs.
Yeah, so we were like cool. And then like there was times where we had like after hour events where we had to move cameras, and that was like, we'd bring like, I don't want to get it, I'll probably get my cousin fucking, oh, Sears is gone now. Yeah. But like we'd bring beers in and fucking have a great time. And then Sears sold like scooters and shit. We'd be riding scooters hours in the mall and like fucking hide and seek and like, all this crazy shit.
Gremlins?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
taking equipment out and jousting.
Oh, we had a fucking great time. I mean, then like there was so much like, you know, you put your balls on the guy's fucking shoulder and like
love
Sundays were amazing because you get time and a half in Massachusetts. Like, I don't know if that. I guess that wasn't in every state.
Not just for Sunday.
Yeah, it was like it was Sunday. You made time and a half.
Wow!
And
damn,
then,
what a fucking Puritan area.
So everyone wanted to work Sunday, so there'd be like seven of us, and it was just a fucking party. It was so much fun.
Damn!
And we'd do all kinds of crazy shit, and we had access to the back, and would be, you know, on those carts and slamming each other into stuff and put on bike helmets. It was great. It was fucking. It was madness.
Oh, it's so much fun, and you know if like the John Sears came in, he'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, no,
it
was like
not coming in.
But that was the thing is like we were the ones kind of running the store. It was so, so fun. And like just a great group of guys. Like I'm still good buddies with a few of them.
Damn, that's so cool. That's so fucking cool. Did you use racial profiling? Was that a thing back then there?
Yeah.
Austin, you got to assume.
Well, I mean, it's hard. Like we had a bunch of black people that worked in our office.
Yeah.
And they would do, and they would make, it would always be funny because they'd be like, and then it would be so much funnier because they'd be like, hey, just watch the black guy there. We'd be like, all right.
Which one?
And you'd kind of wait for somebody to say it. But also, the other thing was the Burlington Mall was like fucking white. It's a white fucking area. So, like, a black person would kind of stick out just in general. Honestly, we didn't have that many black people walking in, like, but there was definitely times where I was like, "Oh, what do we got on?" Marquise. Like that definitely happened.
Marquise got shaken down 20 times before. It's like, yeah. I told you, I work with you.
And Linton, is that his name? Linton. God, I haven't thought about this in so long.
Linton is a cool name.
Yeah. Oh, he was super cool. There was a great moment. He had he just wore sunglasses all the time. I don't know why. I don't know if he had an eye issue or what, but at one point, there was a big to-do, and the cops were involved because it was like a big felony. The guy stole a bunch of shit, and he was wanted or whatever. And for whatever reason, it was just chaos out there. And the cops all knew us because they would be over there. And he was like, Linton, grab my fucking cruiser. Bring it over here. And so there's a video of Linton, who's like cool black guy. I don't know however you describe. I don't know what the PC, like dressed cool. Hat, whatever, and his sunglasses.
Lucas brother.
And he just gets in the fucking, yeah, like a Lucas brother. And he just gets in the cruiser and just, he's just driving the cruiser over. And you're like, this is like amazing. This is like a magical video. But yeah, I mean, the job is profiling. And this is where it comes trick. I mean, we could get into a whole deeper police conversation about this now, but like, that's the job is profiling. Whether it be racial or otherwise, like, you're like, this guy looks fucking dirty. He's got whatever beard. His shoes untied, whatever, like all of that.
So Rambo
security
starts.
Is fucking profiling.
It's just that. It was like, hold on, check this dude out. You're not looking at like old ladies.
Yeah, although old ladies did steal. We'd catch old ladies quite a bit. A lot of old people would steal because
really?
I think because they're on fixed incomes or maybe they're bored or whatever. But yeah, we got old ladies all the time. A lot of people would use their kids. Like they would use, they put it under the stroller and shit, and we would always be like, we could call DSS on you. You can't fucking do that shit. And then there was a guy that was like a creepy pedophile guy that would show up occasionally, and that was fucking weird.
Damn, bro.
And one time we saw a guy that had a handgun on him, which is illegal in Massachusetts. We called the police, and that was fun. It was pretty great. And a lot of the cops hated us. They, like, didn't want to get called. They're like, why are you bothering us? But there was one cop that he always came, and he's like, you guys fucking bought me a boat last year. He's like, I did so much overtime. For them, like, they just come, and they fucking, they charge the person for stealing, whatever.
Overtime?
Yeah, because they have to go to, the cop has to go to court for the thing.
Damn, interesting.
And he's like, yeah, keep calling. Anytime I'm here, I'll fucking always respond. But it's just a matter of work. It's like, did they want to go do that paperwork and shit? Yeah. So some cops were like grateful for us.
Did you ever have to, or excuse me, get to rough anybody up?
I didn't, but people did.
People did?
Yeah, people did. I mean, I wasn't tough, and I just didn't have a lot of those instances, but we definitely had a few where it was like, my buddy, I don't know, again, I don't want to say his name because I think he's still in the business, but yeah, he was a fucking, he was a tough customer, and I think there was a few physical things that was pretty fun, and you'd have to like hold people down or keep them apprehended until the cops got there and
we
shit.
We did that once at the store, somebody was going crazy, and somebody had to like, this guy PJ, I think, sat on a guy, on the guy's stomach, he's like, I'm not getting up until you stop struggling.
Yeah, I think there was a few of those, and yeah, it was pretty great. I mean, it was like glorious and fun. But now I feel like I'm actually like a bigger pussy now. Because like you have more to lose as you get older. I'm like, I'm not fucking stopping a guy because he's shoplifting. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But at the time I was like, I was in. I was like, yes, let's fucking get him. Now I'd be like, who gives a shit? I hate corporations. Like, exactly. I fucking hate these places. They're upcharging. They're fucking everybody. They're making billions of dollars. And the people are just poor trying to take a little bit back. So
what do you think of this scam? To take Sears down further than they already are. You go to the trash can outside, just reach in and grab whatever receipts are right outside the door. And you give that to someone else. And whatever it says on there, pair of jeans. And then you're like, here, Joe, here's a receipt. You know, because you might get me on camera reaching in. So then I had to hand it off to you or Lewis, whatever. And then you go in with a receipt, just go get that thing of jeans.
Yeah, that happened
all
the time.
So I have to return these.
Yeah.
How'd you stop that?
That was
that's a tough one. They're shopping around, and then eventually they're just like at the return counter.
Yeah, that happened a lot. People would pick stuff up and then go and return it for store credit.
Store
and that
credit.
Was the thing we'd have to keep an eye out for as well. And then I think people would sell the store
credit
yeah,
even. Sure.
Yeah, or
50 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, there was a lot of shit like that. There was a few other scams that I'm like trying to remember. But there was definitely a lot of people that were fucking like drug addicts that were in there stealing for their fucking drug money. And then, like I said, a lot of teenagers. And then there'd just be random old people. Some people just steal. Like, sometimes you'd just get people that were, like, 45-year-old housewives or businessmen that are like, yeah, fuck. Sorry, you got me. Like, I remember a guy like you, but cooler, just, like, stealing DVDs or whatever. And he was just like, shit. He's like, I'm sorry.
And you're like, why were you stealing? You got money? And he's like, no.
Yeah, I think people are just fucking bored, whatever.
It's fun to steal.
Or maybe they're just like, fuck these corporations. I do it at the airport. I'll take a magazine or whatever because I'm just like, this is insane.
I don't know if it's LaGuardia or JFK. And you walk in, you got to walk through and then to the left and all the way around. And over here, to the, it's this big buffet thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can just take that and go. They're starting to crack down now, I think.
Yeah. Well, what I'll do is I've done it before there because, and I've had people email me like, dude, the rent in those airports is so crazy. You don't know what you're talking about.
Who knows what the rent is in an airport of your followers?
I don't know.
Shut up.
But like, you're like, I get two scoops of scrambled eggs and fucking hash home fries or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's literally like $18. So I'm like, I'm taking this bottle of water and I'm putting it in my backpack because the bottle of water costs $3.50 as well. Yeah, I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
I'm not... Here's my thing. I'm never going to buy the neck pillow, so the only way I can have it is to steal it.
That's a good point,
too. It's just
too
much. $30? No way.
Yeah, sometimes you got to take things, you know?
Yeah, the neck pillow is the easiest one. You put it on your carry-on bag and then just be wheeling around looking for stuff.
Yeah, but those neck pillows suck.
Yeah, so you throw it away. You use it once.
I just had a thought. We got to get Sundays and cones after this. You're so close. How do you not eat there every day?
Well, right now I'm on the Slim Fast diet, so I can walk with you, but I can't get one.
Really?
You get 250 calories. I can look at the caloric intake there. You can get 250 calories of snacks split out throughout the whole day. I did have
one baby. Why are you on a diet?
Because Jay and Soda are doing it. And we all got doing it together. Because Peter DeLuise on 21 Jump Street lost 40 pounds in the off season.
I think you do too many things like this.
Yeah. Listen, it's stupid. There's no bits to do. I can't run bits. So I do these things.
Anyways, I'm trying to think of other fun nuggets. I like the idea of a podcast that just really fades out to like...
Yeah. Like a mushroom trip. Where eventually you're just like, do you guys want to do anything else? Or, and the one guy goes home and it's like, yeah, I guess I could watch TV.
But yeah, it was great.
Have you learned anything from there that helps you steal now or would help you steal now if
what
you stole more?
We already talked about this.
I know, but like what else? Stores, I mean.
There's the distraction thing.
You're right. We did already talk about it.
The distraction.
The distraction's a good one.
Grab and go is definitely the most efficient.
I'd be too worried about distraction of them going like, what was this? What was this whole thing you guys pulled?
What do you mean? Well, the other guy never even gets caught. I mean, the other person, you wouldn't even know.
Oh, right.
The other person just walks in as fast. Like I said, the minimal time in the store, the better.
And less time on cameras.
Yeah, you just walk in, fucking pick up the thing. Because as soon as you start looking around and you're like, fuck, who's that? What's this? It's noticeable.
Here was a good one I used to do all the time. They used to put belts on pants when they were hanging up. You try the pants on, switch the belt to your own, and then put the pants back.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Because they're like, how many items? Two? Like, here's two. Cool. Got it.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, there's definitely ways. I always thought this was a way to steal a Coke.
I know a question. Yeah.
Was you'd go to Burger King drive through? They always hand you the drink before you hand them the money. Like, you can get a free soda that way.
Hand you a drink and speed off?
You order, and the first thing they do is they open, like, you're handing them the money, they're handing you the soda at the same time. So you kind of have the cash in your hand, take the soda, and just leave. But a Coke at Burger King costs fucking 2¼.
It's not worth the... I know somebody who got on a Whole Foods, like, do not serve this person, and they got caught, and they were like, oh, there was two. One was like, they saw a picture of themselves, and they were just like, nope, turn right back around, look, can't go to this Whole Food again, you know? And then another one was like, ma'am, we caught you, as a friend of mine's boss, and we caught you, you put, like, some food in your pocket and paid for the rest. She goes, which is one of my moves, like, sorry, airhead, I needed my hands, like, we've seen you do this 15 times. We have it on camera. We want you to come in and try the same thing.
Yeah, I've done a similar move to that. Well, you just, like I said, like you hold a magazine and you're like, oh, fuck me.
Yeah, you just forget. If they catch you, you're right there to pay.
Yeah.
Or the bottom shelf of the cart, the underneath.
That was another big move at Sears. That was a big move at Sears that people would do, is throw it underneath, and we weren't falling for that.
Oh.
And it was always fun to grab that. The carriage and just spin it around that 180 was such a fun move. Yeah, we're just like this, nope. And then they're like, fuck.
I would love to see the slowdown of 1 second split up into 20 seconds. And just like pushing. Hey, this is turning. Hey, what's that guy do? Oh, fuck.
Oh, it's fun. Well,
how can I get away?
You've seen the video of me streaking through the Sears, right?
No.
I think I put it on my Instagram. It's on my Instagram.
What?
Yeah, so when I was leaving, we decided it'd be really fun. It was like one of those Sundays where I was like, why don't I run naked through Sears? That's how it started.
With people in there?
Yeah. And then my friend Dave, who's now a state trooper.
Dave Stewart.
Had passed the bar exam. Wait, you know his name? I already
said
his name.
Because he's a guitarist for the Eurythmics.
Ah, shit. Maybe I should bleep his name, because now people can look up state trooper. I guess I didn't say anything bad.
Okay, well, yeah.
And then the Eurythmics, there's a lot here.
There's
fuck,
a lot.
They can figure out.
I mean, you already said
I don't
it
think
before.
I say anything bad about him, right?
Not yet.
Just that I stuck shit on the stall and he threw up.
That you can't get fired for throwing up with someone
who
shits
deal.
In your stall.
Let me think of what else I said.
I wonder if there's any precedent to shit in stall.
Well, here's what I have to remember.
He did clean up the throw up, though.
He never did anything wrong. So what could I have possibly said?
It's cancel culture. Who knows?
We never did anything wrong other than wiping my ass, sticking it on the thing, and then he threw up.
In certain circles, they would not be happy with that.
I did say balls in the shoulder, but I didn't get specific of who did that. Dave never did that. But he did fart, and they smelled bad. All right. I think I'm good to proceed.
Okay.
Now I don't even know what the fuck story I was telling. Oh, so I was going to streak to the store naked, and Dave, who had recently passed the bar exam, was like, hold on. You can't run through naked. That's a sex crime. It's indecent exposure, the whole thing.
And you're like, indecent exposure, yeah, but not a sex crime. There's no sex.
I think it's a registered sex offender, the whole thing.
Damn, not worth it.
So I was like, okay, good point. Thank you, Dave. He's the hero of this story.
If anything, you should get a promotion. How about that sergeant exam?
Yeah, maybe you could be sergeant.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, he So he was like, no, you can't do that. So then we came up with the idea to go get a candy thong at Spencer's Gifts. And I was like, I'll wear the thong.
Nice.
Perfect idea. And then we had the thing of like, even that could be construed, because what if your ball bag falls out? What if whatever, your asshole, Truth. Someone could still complain. And so then I decided to get a paper bag to put on my head. And then for some reason, I don't remember who came up with this idea. I think it might have been Dave. I don't know. But someone came up with the idea to write Save the Manatees on the bag. I don't know why, but it felt like the perfect thing to write.
Were you fat then?
No.
Ever?
No.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm a good person.
Yeah.
Bad. Fat people are bad and bad people are fat. And that's the facts, folks.
One time, Red Band said to me, he's like, dude, if I was your height, I would just binge all the time. Your weight, I would just binge. I'm like, yeah, that's why you're not my weight. Because if I binge all the time, I'd be back to your weight.
That's how you get fat.
Yeah.
So I put the candy thong on, put the bag on my head, and then I was like, I was going to run through. I guess I left from our office. And then my friend Justin was like, he was going to pick me up outside this door. And I had to have the thing. And it's so funny because I'm naked with a bag on my head and being like this. I'm telling you right now, if you fucking think you're pulling some shit.
That's obviously you'd have
to. If you're
like
doing a thing, you're fucking, you're out. I'm like, I'll never be a friend. And I don't care how tough you are. I'll fucking get a gun. I will fucking shoot you dead. And he's like, I'll be there. And I'm like, if this is a fucking thing, if you guys think you're going to fucking leave me. And it was like this big speech. And he's like, I swear to God. And I was like, you swear to Christ on your mother's tits. You fucking. And it was like one of those things. He's like, all right, all right. And I was like, okay, sorry. Just making sure. And so, yeah, we got it all set up. And we had all the cameras set up and ready, and I just fucking bombed through the store barefoot, fully. What's happening?
Nothing. I'm checking to make sure it's on. I'm always checking. Bombed through the store.
Oh God! How long have we been going?
Well, that was 20 minutes before that we couldn't air.
Oh right.
Well, don't worry about that. Worry about these sundaes and cones you're gonna eat.
So, yeah. Anyways, I fucking ripped through the store naked. We have the video. It's on Instagram. It's from years ago. But the funny thing is, on the video, people like barely react. There's like one person that just kind of does like this, like a head turn. Some people just walk by and no one really seems to notice. And then these fucking nitwits fucked up and they lost me on the camera. I guess I ran too fast or they just were too nervous or whatever, or laughing too hard. So there's a whole period where I just blank out until you see me pop out the door and jump in the car.
I don't see the video.
I got it here.
Let me see.
Right now? You want to shoot it right now?
Yeah, sure. Maybe I'll put it on the YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Put it on. Well, I should put it on my YouTube. I was realizing that.
Yeah. I mean, in this episode, but yeah.
Oh, I see.
You know?
It might take me a minute to find it.
Okay. Well, when was it for? Like 5 years ago?
Well, no. I mean, it happened 15 years ago, but I posted it. I didn't post it that long ago. Hold on. I should be able to find it. But I don't want dead air, though, right?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I'll just take this time to say the Joe List has a couple podcasts. You might know I've been on Mindful Metal Jacket, which is a fun one about insane people who are holding on to reality by a thread. Another one is Tuesdays with Stories. We hear tons of stuff. You got it?
Found it. Yeah. Hold on. I'm fucking flying.
Yeah, they barely look at you. They're just looking at jewelry.
See, this is where they lose me. They missed it. So then you see me go through and come out into it. Oh, it started over again.
That is great. What a doofus.
It's pretty funny. And then my friend Lisa, who was great, who kind of like ran the office, she came in and we were like, we had a fucking streaker. And she's like, what? Let me see the video. And we pulled it up and like immediately she's like, that's fucking List. And we were like, ah. It was great. It was fucking, it was fun. It was a great time.
Damn.
I loved it. I missed that job.
Did you ever have like a mom and kid or a father and kid there, father and son, you know, where you have to be like, fuck, this is going to ruin his life. It's not just like he's in trouble. He's going to be in trouble right now.
No, wait.
Where the kid is stealing in front
of the parents. We had parents come. And there was a couple times I remember being like, this guy's going to fucking kick his son's ass. And I remember being like, I wish we didn't call these parents.
Damn.
Because he was like, you fucking piece of... He's like, don't you worry. I'll be fucking taking care of this. That kind of thing. And you're like, Jesus
Christ. So you would arrest the kid or whatever, detain the kid, and then say, give me your parents' number. We're calling him right now.
Yeah. Sometimes we'd let him go. But yeah, they would have to call their parents and be like, I'm at Sears. I need you to come get me. I got caught stealing, yada, yada. And sometimes you'd wait for like 20 minutes for the parents and all that shit.
Did you ever, during that time, have the desire, or was there anything going on, of you guys stealing because you knew the fucking codes?
Oh, we could have stolen everything. But we were all, like, good. I mean, first of all, like, my cousin was good at hiring good people, I think. And then we had all, it felt like we had all, like, bought into the system, the team. Like, it was just kind of like, whatever. But, yeah.
J.P. Sears started a company so he could give the common man a good set of tools. We're going to carry on that tradition.
It wasn't like a corporate buy-in at all. It was like we're all working together. It's fun, whatever. I mean, maybe someone was stealing. I don't know. But I think, like, also, like, my friend Dave, like, is a fucking a stand-up guy. My cousin is.
Some people just don't believe in stealing. It's strange.
Yeah. I mean, we were, like, adult. So, yeah, I think everyone was, like, really cool and good and... And also, I think because it was, like, such a fun, funny group, everyone wanted to be in and cool. Like, it was, like, almost like comedy, where it's like, yeah, you could fucking steal bits, but we're all going to hate you.
But don't do
it. And then you won't be able to hang out with us, because, well, you'll... You know what I mean? It was, like, a thing of, like, no, I want to be cool. I want to be part of the
thing.
Right,
so don't.
You ever heard, I think.
You ever... Oh, that's what we had with the Comedy Store. Like, it's not that we can't steal, and we did, but, like, if we get caught stealing, like... We might never be able to go to the Comedy Store again, and that's how much is that worth? If we can get like a couple grand, maybe, but not.
Yeah, but to be clear, yeah, we could have fucking. I could have stolen everything. Like I could have. I knew every dead spot in the thing. Like, yeah, I could have robbed the place. I mean, we were like working jewelry. We counted the jewelry. Wow. We had the registers. Like, we could have.
Were there temptations?
Not for me.
Damn,
no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, my cousin hired me. It would be, like, so ridiculous to just fuck over my cousin.
And then flay, like, I know where you live.
Yeah, so maybe someone was. I wasn't. I felt... I can flip my phone back over. Jesus Christ, 7:30?
What time did you get here? 5:45?
I don't even know. 5:30? Oh, I stood outside like a fucking chooch for 25 minutes.
I don't understand how you rang it.
I rang it a couple times, but I guess you have to push it, like... In,
it doesn't make a noise when you push it. Yeah, I guess if you push it halfway, maybe it doesn't do anything.
Full disclosure, I pushed with this part of my finger because of germs, I guess, which I don't even give a shit about.
That's not even, I mean, you push there, the knuckle maybe. This,
no, because
of
the knuckle,
like...
I'd hit all the other buttons.
Oh, right.
So I did like a little, it was a bad push, but right. It was nice out there. Here was the thing. I was just standing out there. I'm like, this is pleasant. And then I figured, I'm a good friend. I was like, he's probably recording. I don't want to keep buzzing the door. So I'll just whenever he, whatever.
Yeah, I went and checked my phone. I was like, oh, I hope Joe. Oh, yeah, yes. He's okay. He's here.
Yeah, I've been out there for 20 minutes.
Well,
but you were having sex with the cleaning lady. So.
By the way, well, I'll tell you off air. You know, you don't get paid for this because you stole me for the car rental. We made a deal.
I hated that deal in the first place.
Why? The car rental was what? Why?
Because I could have just Venmo. I like to just Venmo. I hate the owing.
But then, like, you'd get me, then you'd get back money right now.
Right. I would leave here with $100 and be like, because that money would be gone. Mentally, that money would have been gone. And at that time, I was ready to spend that money. I was like, what's the money for the Venmo? How much money do I owe you?
Fucking Venmo me right now. And I'll give you $100 on your way out of here.
That doesn't make sense. It's too ridiculous now. But I wanted to pay the money, and then now I'd be leaving. I'm like, I got $100. All right.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that. I just want to... I never want to owe people money. Right now, I owe Mark, like, a bunch of money, because the Patreon goes to me, and then I Venmo him, but there's a limit on the Venmo. So now I have to this... 7 days from now, I got to just hand him money, though I have
the
no...
The limit sucks.
I got... The limit's ridiculous. But, like, at the time when you pay him, I just got all the money that I'm like, here's your half.
Right.
Now, 10 days from now,
it's yours.
I got to be like,
it's
like, that's my money,
like,
now.
It's about, yeah.
Now I'm just giving him money.
Paulie had this problem when he did a SAG experimental movie, put a ton of comics in it, pretty much that hero of Staten Island, whatever, King of Staten Island, but, like... A SAG experimental Pauly movie.
Yeah, another thing we can talk about off air.
Award-winning director, but like, so he goes, SAG, which means until I sell this, nobody gets paid. You're doing this on a favor, but we can't have SAG people do favors because like people take advantage. So, but if it sells, you will get paid your SAG rates. And then a year later, he edited and sold it, and people are like, you got to pay now. He goes, but no, that's my money. It's like, yeah, but they did it on a favor, and he's like, yeah, but. I'm the one who sold it. It was just like that same thing. I'm like, it's mine now.
He paid. Yeah. Anyways.
Oh, he paid.
No problem.
Yeah.
Well, but we also owe you more than that.
too. Right. So overall, it's working out for you. But
yeah,
right
I'm
now,
making money
it's
on
working
this.
way to your detriment because you don't walk with $100.
I'm making money. Yeah. Maybe I'll Venmo you $100. You give me $100, and then we fuck in the ass.
Yeah.
Till we bleed.
Buy some cigars and a cone. Well, I feel like we've covered that subject.
Yeah, pretty much. There was one great thing I left out.
What great takedowns do you have?
So there was one where these guys were knocking us off a couple times. They were like a pair or whatever. And we chased them out, but the guy got in the car before we could get to him. And my friend, whose name I won't say, but he's great and he's a fucking madman and I love him. But the car, they were in like this old shitty Buick, and they were like peeling out, and my friend was like catching up to them, but obviously they were in a car. So he just took his radio and like full baseball through like fucking Dwight Evans in right field, whipped the thing. Whipped the thing. We have it perfectly on camera. It hit the back windshield and just completely blew out the back windshield.
Nice.
Like bang, like fully cleaned out, no whatever, like spidered and just went to pieces and just shattered. They kept taking off, and you see the brake lights go on for a moment.
Like, what the? I was like, oh, we can't stop.
And they just took off, and we have that video, and that video is a fucking treasure. And we would watch it like frame by frame, and it's just like him.
It's the picking up
winding
the legs,
up. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And we were like trying to do that. We were all like, we watched that probably 5,000 times. We were like, how the fuck? Like, it must have hit the perfect spot. And it's just a fucking radio, like a walkie-talkie, and just blew it out perfectly, like a fucking, like it was wired like with a bomb.
Damn.
And that was like the coolest, because you could go frame by frame and watch the windshield go from clear to white to like shattered to just gone. It was just like...
And that cost them so much more than whatever they stole.
It was amazing, and we had to like kind of keep it quiet, because that's like fucking super...
You can't... Not
against
to coach.
The rules,
yeah.
Not allowed to do that. But eventually, like, my cousin was like, thought it was great, and then he eventually told the regional manager because they became buddies, and it's like a legendary video in the in the Sears loss prevention world or whatever.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Damn, I'm jealous of that job now.
Yeah,
especially now there's
thought,
no work. I'm like, wow, I want
to
do that.
I always thought it'd be a perfect job to have a bunch of comics working there.
Uh-huh.
But what was nice was it was Burlington, Mass. It was like super suburb, so you had a few characters. But like doing that in Queens or something,
yeah.
I'm
but like
I
you have to bring
not...
up somebody shooting up in the bathroom,
yeah.
You're like,
and people with like weapons, just like more people with more to lose and more real criminals and stuff. Like the majority of our shit was like teenagers stealing fucking panties.
Have you
or
ever
whatever.
Seen anybody like an adult nowadays getting caught shoplifting? I saw it at CVS. And it was like, she was like, it's not mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. I walked in with it. And then eventually it was like, please let me go. It was like the sad.
Yeah, we'd have a lot of
then
that.
Then the cry, yeah.
They have a lot of that. And it's hard not to feel bad.
Women like, cry when horrible things have happened to them. And then they also cry knowing how men react when horrible things have happened to them. And they cry to like, oh, I can recreate this in men by also crying.
Right, right. Yeah, it's there was definitely some of that. And it was like, you felt bad. But
yeah,
no, it was great. I loved it.
Well, that's fucking awesome. This is like the perfect kind of subject for this kind of thing. Experience with this fucking topic.
Yeah, maybe we should have done it before, but we did it now.
Well, I'm glad we saved it. You know what I found the other day? A fucking acorn from when we did a first podcast about herpes in Central Park. It was one of the first times we ever really talked.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you too well. And at the time, I was like, oh, this is going to be awful because I stunk and your fans are these like savagey people. But they're not.
They're not. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are. Some of them are fucking
some
idiots.
Are.
That guy, one guy wanted to fight me on the, or a bunch of people on
go
that.
Go Pack Joe, fuck him.
No, that Instagram post that on your thing that like blew up. That was like insane.
Could you say what happened there? I think it's so fucking funny.
Yeah, I mean like.
What was it? Oh, it was
my
nephew.
Your nephew did a video where a bunch of kids dunked a basketball.
Do a bunch
or
of
whatever.
Alley-oops in the air over a pool.
And then what was so crazy about it was. There was no thought in my mind of like, I'm going to post a really controversial thing. I wrote needs diversity because it was like nine white kids.
Nine
playing.
Jewish white kids.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote needs diversity. Ha ha. Get it. You know how that happens.
Yeah.
And it got
dude.
Like 500 likes or whatever.
It's hilarious.
Thank you. And I was like, oh, this is doing well. And I wasn't looking at my shit. I've been better about that. And I looked and it was like 97 comments, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And I assumed it was trolls, and it turned out I was the troll. I was like, what? 97 comments? And it fucking ended up having like 175 comments.
Now, dude, what did he say? It was pretty much like,
well, there was a bunch of people.
Ruining.
Yeah, people. There was a bunch of people that really took it serious. And,
but not took it serious saying like, yeah, fuck you, Ari. It's hey, get this shit out of here. We're all trying to have a good time. You're trying to ruin it with your diversity calls.
Yeah, they thought I was like upset that I, Joe List Comedy,
that's your name on Instagram, Joe List Comedy.
Yeah, thought I was pushing diversity in your nephew's circle or whatever. But there was people that like, you fucking... And then one guy, a couple I responded to were... the one guy was like, you're fucking a piece of shit. And I just wrote, sometimes I have genuine, like, there's a moment where I'm like, I'm concerned for you.
Are you okay, dude?
Yeah. I was like, dude, you're like, you're not well, and I want you to get some help. And he's like, I'm fucking fine. You're a fucking loser. And then I just wrote, okay, well, here's the situation. I'm a comedian making a joke on a good friend who's also a comedian's Instagram. You're a person that's upset by that.
So we
can make our own judgments on who's who, but
so
I think
at that point, did he go, man, you're right, I will get some help?
No, I think
he didn't. Wow.
I think he ignored that, but a few people, one guy wrote a long thing, and I just wrote back, I'm kidding. And I think he might have deleted it.
I think one or two guys goes, oh, fuck. Yeah, one or two were like, damn it. Of course.
Yeah.
Because there's so many of those other ones that you assume everybody's being serious all the time, and you forget, oh, yeah, yeah, most people are normal.
Yeah, it was...
I remember writing back to every one of them too, and I was like, "Yeah, at Joe List Comedy, get out of here with that fucking straight talk, scram."
One guy.
It was so fun.
This was amazing.
I've never seen so many likes and comments on a comment.
It was insane. But one guy, this I thought was amazing. One dude went through my entire Instagram feed, screenshotted it, then went to like Photoshop or whatever, and circled all the white people in my thing as to say, you need diversity. And he went through, it was like, whatever, like 50 posts that he took screenshots with all the circles of like, he's like, it looks like you don't even know one black person. You're the one that needs diversity, you fucking asshole.
Whoa.
And I wrote back, yeah, I was fucking kidding or whatever. And then, I told you this, I just kept waiting. I might have called him a piece of shit or an asshole or whatever. And I just waited and waited until my message said seen. And then I blocked him, which was really satisfying.
I've done that too.
That I'm just like, I want to make sure he sees that he's a fucking idiot.
Because if you block him before, there's a chance that he never sees yours, right?
Yeah. I think I wrote, Ari and I are laughing at what a dipshit you are, which is another fun thing to say. I'm like, because they're obviously fans of yours and they're defending you.
Right.
So it's fun for me to be like, hey, I'm actually friends with Ari, and we're really laughing hard at what a fucking dodo head you are.
Dude, I've had people, I've just blocked them, and then just someone writes me later, I'm like, hey, you blocked me, you think you can get the last word in? Well, I started a new account to get to you. And I was like, dude, I'm too important to your life.
Yeah, it really is like a thing of like, boy, we are all fucking mentally ill.
It's some dudes at home in Kansas going, I'm enraged at this Joe List Comedy.
Yeah, I'm like, you're too upset by the people that are like, hey, this needs more diversity, whatever. Anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the new special is out now. I Hate Myself?
It's out. It's called I Hate Myself, which is the second episode we ever did. You came over to my house.
It's called I Hate Myself.
We did an episode about how I hate myself.
I'm about to get some fucking free downloads.
Oh, yeah. Will that work? How does that work?
People search Joe List, I Hate Myself, and my shit comes up. That's right, everybody. Joe List, I Hate Myself, available on Apple Podcasts.
Nice. But yeah, it's on YouTube, so check it out.
I'm excited for you. Dude, you're going to have so many people see it, and so many people love it. You're a fucking hilarious comic.
Thank you.
And so it's like, oh, Netflix is a big platform, but this will be also a massive platform for people to see you. And there's nothing going on. So many more people will see it right now.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see. I don't know. It's fun. It's funny because I was going to be like, I hate myself, so I don't know. But yeah, it's weird. We'll see how it goes.
It's going to go great. Congratulations. That's fucking awesome.
Thanks. I'm excited. Thanks for being there.
And then what a perfect time to be out of material to be like, well... No one has any material. You don't have to be on the road. So it's
I had a bunch of extra. I actually have material because I had a bunch of extra shit.
Yeah.
So I got about 40 minutes or 35
minutes. You going anywhere
minutes.
Or no? You're not doing anything, are you?
I haven't really. I did that outdoor show in Royersford, Soul Joel's gig, which is amazing. You should do it if you can. It's fucking so fun, so good. So I've canceled all my indoor shit, but we'll see. I don't know.
Stress factories, whatever. Yeah. Another talk. But,
there's a few things.
But
yeah,
that one, it was set up well.
Let's go get some fucking ice cream,
let's
bro.
Let's get some ice cream, dude. For Sundays you, and I will just longingly look at it, because I have 5 more days of this stupid fucking thing with my obese friends.
Best ice cream in the city, Sundays and Cones, 10th Street, 3rd Avenue.
You think so?
Just a couple blocks from where Ari lives.
All right. Well, that's the episode. Thank you very much, Joe List. Nothing else to add, right?
No, I don't think so. Don't write mean things to me. That stinks.
What? Oh, yeah. Guys, okay, how about this? Watch the fucking special, and then do us both a favor. Do him a favor. Do me. Send it to a few friends. Say, like, if I enjoyed it, even if you're 5 minutes in and you enjoy it, stop right there and just be like to your 4 friends, like, hey, this is really funny. Watch it. And so then, you know, or post it on your social medias. If everyone posts, it'll get really, like, eventually people are like, oh, yeah, I should watch this. I've heard about it enough times. So help out Joe just to get it seen.
Yeah, and like it.
And like it, sure. Comment and do
I think
whatever.
That helps. Doesn't that do something?
Yeah. Maybe comment needs more diversity. That would be a fun one. If we get 150 comments on the Comedy Central video, needs more diversity. It would be lovely. And any real sentiments, too. All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Okay.
Tits.
Tits. Tits and A.
Before we go out, we'll just bang camera. People are Venmoing you?
Yes.
If they like the special or yes. whatever.
What's are we on Venmo? Camera right now?
Yeah, we're just doing it. We'll put it right at the end.
My Venmo's at Joe List Comedy, and the special's free, and I paid for it myself. So
you
a
did
bunch
pay
of people...
for it yourself. You had to rent all the fucking camera equipment and do all that shit.
Yes, and a director.
Joe List Comedy
all that
is,
stuff.
Is your and director?
At Joe List Comedy. If
on
you'd
Venmo.
Like, I just had a big fucking
That's
epic...
a member-supported way to do it. You just like, if you liked it, fucking hit me. It's like we said, if you see a street musician, you'd be like, here's some cash.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Anytime I've ever enjoyed a street musician, I give him a buck or two. You can give me a buck or two or five or even $100.
I was meeting PDC. We're in to Bangkok and we're listening to this lady singing Neil Young, the entire album, just singing Thai lady. And we sat there for like an hour. Some album. He's more like you into Neil Young. But at the end of it, he was like, I'm giving her fucking, it was like $20, but it was like, what the? She just stopped. She was like, this is amazing. This is Thai money.
Was it like, keep on locking in the field?
It is exactly that. You're making fun,
oh,
but you're
man,
just sort of,
I think I look at my, like, that was even Asian.
I don't know what that was. So yeah, oh, Joe List Comedy. Guys, slide in some cash if you like it. Sure. Let's fucking start. That way more comics can make fucking, great comics can make great specials.
Yeah.
I like the idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Well, I'm yeah, Mark made an obscene amount off
doing
of
that?
Venmo. Yeah, just a nice. Few bucks. You got a couple thousand people giving you a couple bucks, and it's helpful. So, yeah, at Joe List Comedy. Thank you. I all love right. you. I'm hitting myself.
All right. Thank you very much for tuning in, listening. Thank you, Joe List. Hit him up, guys. Slide him a dollar on Venmo. Slide him whatever you think that special is worth once you've watched it. But definitely post about it. Let your friends know you liked it. Tell people on your social media, whatever your reach is. 10 people, 10,000, 1,000, 2,000. Let them all know that you like Joe List, and I guarantee you're going to love it. He's fucking hilarious. So there's no question. He's one of the best. He really is one of the best. Barack Obama called him a light unto the nations. They said if more people watched Joe List's special, Rodney King would still be alive. It's a real quote from Barack Hussein Obama. So that's the episode. I hope you guys liked it. I don't think there's anything left to say. How about this? In the comments, can you do this? The comments of this, if you're on this YouTube, watching this one, tell me if you ever had a story of getting caught by a shoplift by one of these loss prevention officers. If you've ever been caught, I want to hear about it in the fucking, in the comments of the YouTube. If you're listening, don't worry about it. If you're listening, don't worry about it. But if you're on the Patreon of this episode, we have a fucking chat room in there. In there, fucking talk about it. Have you ever been caught by one of those guys? So I was caught once. They caught CVS. And I think back then it was People's Drug. They called my home. Said, Mrs. Shafir, Ari Shafir, your son was caught shoplifting. My older sister fucking intercepted it and acted like my mom. Ow. Need more of this CBD weed. She acted like my mom and said she's going to give me a stern talking to. And she said, she was like, Ari, you were shoplifting. And I was like, no, I wasn't. What are you talking about? And she told me. She's like, they called. I intercepted. And I tried to deny it. I was like, no, they didn't. And then she said the same thing. I did it in one of my, in that, in the, not the Holy Spirit, the hiding edibles, hunt for the edibles at the Mall of America. There's a story on YouTube. You should see it. And by the way, as soon as this ends, the next video is just going to start playing, hopefully, or at least one of those two boxes is going to be Joe List special. I Hate Myself. Watch it. You will love it. If you have a friend coming home tonight, or a husband or a wife or boyfriend or girlfriend, wait for them and say, you want to watch a comedy special? Make some popcorn and just fucking laugh your ass off. Light up one of these, but with real weed, not with CBD. Thank you, Cushy Jeans, by the way. Dude, I can feel it already. I can already feel it like through my fucking body. It really fucking works. CushyDreams.com. Promo code Ari for 15% off your first order. Use my promo code and get that shit, you guys. So I said the same thing in this fucking Mall of America thing where I was like, no, I was just denying. I was like, no, I didn't shoplift. And she goes, so do you think I just made up that somebody called me from CBS reporting that you shoplifted? And in my head, I'm like, I mean, I did shoplift. And how else would she know that? And so then I was like, okay, please don't tell mom and dad. She's like, I already told you I'm not going to. I intercepted it. Anyway, you guys, that's the episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you want, head over to my Patreon, patreon.com/Ari Shafir. I just put up a new episode this week about a trip to Thailand. I do these travel blogs where I show this picture from my travels and I tell a story about an hour and fucking 5 minutes, hour and 10 minutes. Go on there and I'll do that and mailbags back and forth. I put some shit on there and it's actually getting pretty good. I'm getting used to it now and I'm starting to really like it. But that's it. And go hit up Joe List. Let him know you like the special. Follow me on Instagram at Ari Shafir. Subscribe to the YouTube already. YouTube.com/Ari Shafir. That's it. We're done, right? All right. So let's see if I can get this right. I always mess up. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been Ari Shafir Skeptic Tank, episode 397, Loss Prevention Officer. For Joe List, I'm Ari Shafir, saying so long, I fucking did it! Fucking idiot. Stupid fucking moron idiot. Fucking. No, I can't even curse that. Okay, start over. 3, 2. So frustrating!